ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo, John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio. This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome, bodybuilding fans around the world, to another exciting episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm John Romano, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and partner in crime, Dave Palumbo. Dave, we just got back from another successful event in New York City, the Team Universe, along with about 20 other shows that were sponsored by and put on by multiple of other federations and sponsors that went off pretty well, considering 300-odd contestants.
Yeah, I thought it was a great weekend. And you know what? I got to tell you, we've hit this critical mass point where people are just coming up to me randomly now and telling me that they love our coverage, that they can depend on the fact that we always have extensive coverage in every major show. And you know what? I got to tell you, you know, I don't usually worry about the good opinion of others, but it actually made me feel kind of good, like that, you know, we're doing something right here.
Yeah, you know, me too. I've got, you know, throughout that whole, I don't know if it's because it was an East Coast event, we were in our own backyard, so to speak, but it was just accolade after accolade. And, you know, we're immersed in this thing up to our eyeballs. Sometimes we don't see the forest for the trees, but it was really nice to get the kinds of comments we were getting. And it was not only from, you know, guy bodybuilders. Builders. It was a lot of women coming up to us and saying, you know, thanks for the coverage. We really appreciate you guys taking interest in us and are helping to promote the sport. And I noticed we did an awful lot of interviews with very willing figure and fitness women last night.
The figure women were tackling me backstage and saying, I've been waiting for you guys to interview me. I love RX Muscle. And you know, that also made me feel good. And it actually forced me to interview every single one of the weight class winners, all of who deserved it, because they all won pro cards. And, you know, I got to say, especially, you know, thanks, and I'll mention it later, but Kat Ramirez got her Kitty Cat on our board, got her pro card. So she's was absolutely so thrilled and so excited that she started crying, and then she made me and you cry.
No, she did. Yeah, and I also, you were crying from being tackled by all of those hot women wanting interviews. Yeah. You poor thing.
Yeah. And our good friend Arthur L. Ray was there too. Did you see him?
Yes.
He was very, very subdued though the whole weekend.
Very subdued. I only saw two cops the entire weekend, and none of them were tackling him.
No. I think he's saving it up for the Olympia next week.
Yeah, I definitely think Arthur's like that. He retreats into his shell when he's contemplating a big move, and his demeanor last night was indicative of that fact. That we just know, come five days from right now,
four
for us because we're filming it on Sunday, but 5 days from when you guys listen to this, he's going to be
that would be 3 days then.
Out of the box. Well,
your math is that good.
No, I'm going to his party. I'm counting on his party on Friday being the
Saturday.
Saturday. So it's 6 days. The end all, the get all of debauchery, and he's pretty much guaranteed it. I think he's into the six figures now in terms of spending on this event.
Well, he's going to be on the show a little later tonight, so we'll have to ask him all about that. But yeah. It was good seeing the king as usual.
Yeah. Yeah, always.
And, you know, Steve Weinberger really has this show tweaked out pretty good. You know, he knows exactly when to start it. He knows when his deadline is. You know, as we were doing the wrap-up, you know, he's kicking us out the door because if we last one more minute, you know, they're going to charge him like an up fee again. So, but that's a great theater for, like, the Team Universe because it's very intimate. It's not as big a show as the New York Pro Show, maybe, you know, that he holds, you know, earlier in the year. But this particular venue really fits this show, and I think the competitors really appreciate, you know, everything he does for them.
I think that area of Manhattan also is a very friendly place to have a bodybuilding show. It's, you're in Tribeca. The Village is kind of avant-garde anyway. There's all kinds of weird stuff that goes on in the Village, and what better place to host the weirdness of a bodybuilding, fitness figure, and bikini show? So you know, the venue's great. There's a lot of outside area. There's a lot of people hanging out and people walking by and wondering what's going on, and they kind of peek in, and it's I just love it down there in that part of Manhattan.
Yeah, and that hotel we stayed at, the Millennium Hilton, which I had never stayed at before, was right, it's ground zero right there.
Yeah.
We had a good view of exactly what they're trying to build there. We'll probably take them another 10 years knowing how New Yorkers work over there. But, you know, we ate at that Stage Deli there, which is, you know, that's like, if you get a Stage Deli, you know you're going to get some good food. And you taught me or introduced me to a new combination that I actually liked. fresh carved turkey with tuna.
Yep.
I did that combo before. I got to tell you, it was pretty good.
Tuna for salad.
Tuna salad.
Yeah. Right. Well, because the turkey breast is so freaking dry, and the tuna salad adds a little moisture to it with a lot of added protein. So you put the two together, you get a good balance of fat and protein, and it works for me.
Did you see Nick the Stick trying to eat the potato chips?
I stopped him. Nick the Stick, who was, by the way, on Accutane for a glandular problem.
Well, I was going to bring my name up. I don't understand. I'm over here trying to busy tag. What are you talking about?
Nick, get back to work.
Get back to work.
I'm trying. I'm trying, but I can't get the disc up. I don't know what's going on.
So he opens a bag of potato chips, which you might as well just rub them on your face.
Yeah, right. Did you see me scare the shit out of him?
Yeah, he put it down right away.
But what you didn't see was I was actually opened my bag up and I wanted to smell him, and he thought I was going to eat him, so he thought that was okay.
Right.
That was my like sign to go ahead, eat what you want. But I didn't let him do it.
I gave him my bag. I was out of
it. He didn't eat him, though. He didn't eat him.
We shamed him into realizing it would negate his medication.
Right. Well, you know, Nick wasn't the most famous teenager, even though he's 18 this weekend. That distinction has to go to Ariel Kadar, who turned pro and made herself the youngest IFBB pro in the history of the IFBB, or the NPC, I should say, by winning the figure, I think it was the
fitness.
A class, fitness A class.
Right.
She came in second place, and she got her pro card, and she had just turned 17 at the beginning of September, so she was like 17 in a couple of days.
Right.
And she eclipsed, I forget the girl who was... who had beaten that, had the record before that.
If Nick was in love with her before, multiply that exponentially now, because I think she mentioned his name in the rap.
In my interview. Yeah,
right. Her,
yeah.
So now he's done.
Thank you, Ariel Kadar. Thank you.
No, she thanked him.
Yeah, she thanked him.
I'm thanking Ariel for thanking me. Well, I mean, you know, I'm trying to be nice.
He's tagging photos. It must suck to be the low man on the totem pole, on our totem pole.
What are you kidding me? This kid has got exposure to the hottest girls in the industry. What 18-year-old is in his position? Come on.
And why do they all sitting with him? I mean,
he's got groupies.
He does. He's like sitting at that table up there in the top of the theater at a desk, away from everybody else. He's working on the computer. Every time I walk by, there's a new hottie sitting next to him.
He draws him in there.
I thank you very much for thinking I'm so hot for sitting next to Mr. Stick.
Yeah, you know, Diego shows up with no fucking food.
None.
He knows we're starving there.
I am starving too. I'm getting ready to show Sean Andros how to look like a man with a buck.
You know, yeah, you know, Diego's getting cockier and cockier the leaner he gets. Have you noticed?
Fuck you, Dave.
He is. He's got his new sense of entitlement. We all have to remember where he came from. He was from
Colombia.
Yeah, but before, after that, he was an RX groupie who showed up at the house one day. Who's the
stripes? He earned his stripes, though.
Whatever he was doing to earn his stripes, he's no longer doing.
No, I know. That's the irony of right. The whole situation.
Because when you are in Florida, Mr. John, I did bring the food. Now it's too many people. I know, bring no food for you now. You go back to Florida, maybe I consider bringing food.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Go fuck you then.
Yeah, I think the leaner he gets, the nastier he gets,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
So.
He must be getting in up in the dose, too.
Yeah, maybe, but I think what's happening is that as he sees more and more cuts on his body, he's
getting cocky.
He's got the sense of entitlement coming on. You know,
yesterday,
like most bodybuilders.
I bench pressed 2 cows.
Yes,
he's very strong.
He milked him after that too.
Right,
my girlfriend too helped me.
You milked your girlfriend?
No, you stupid sick bastard! I said I milked the cows too. I love my girlfriend. I love you, girlfriend.
You know how your son is obsessed with the snake we have here, John?
Yes.
Blecky,
who finally ate his first mouse.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Well, they
I can't.
Well, you know, they captured a 400-pound python. I have the video for it. This guy was keeping it in his backyard because he couldn't fit it in his house anymore. The thing was like 20 feet long. You got to see this this video. I got to try to put it online for people to watch.
What did he feed it? 9 rabbits or something?
Oh, yeah, right before they came, the animal services came and took it. He had fed it like 5 rabbits or something like that, you know.
You know what? What I was amazed about Blecky, which in my mind had him by far surpass his namesake, was that we threw him a meal, a mouse, a brand new, fresh, live white mouse into his cage. And this was his first meal. Right. He's a baby snake. He's got no mom, no dad. Old. 3 weeks old. He's sitting in a cage there. He snapped at Max one day, so you know Max won't hold him anymore. And now he's completely uneducated by any older snake in the ways of snakeism. Okay? We throw a mouse in there. Within 5 minutes, he's got it around the neck, squeezing the shit out of it and swallowing it. Instinct is just an amazing, amazing function of nature.
Diego has some good instincts.
I once took a rat and I put my tail around it. Why are you laughing? It's true.
In Colombia, that's a delicacy I hear.
Right, yeah.
It's rat one tail. Of them, not the only one, though.
No.
No, dog is also.
Dog, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cat.
Tastes like chicken. Well, let's get to the New York Pro, John. First, let's start off with the IFEB New York Pro figure competition, because there was two shows this past weekend we covered.
Yes.
The Team Universe, which was the NPC Team Universe, and then the IFEB New York Pro figure, which was the last pro figure show prior to the Olympia, which will be this coming weekend. So you had a chance for a couple more people to qualify. Unfortunately, the three girls that won and took those three spots already were qualified, as well as the fourth place finisher, so no one extra qualified, but it was a good show. And we had Julianne Cooler on hand, who's an IFBB pro in her own right and took second here last year. She had a couple of personal problems, so she didn't want backed out of this show and doing the Olympia, but she came to New York anyway to hang out with the crew, and she did the live play-by-play with us, and she did the wrap-up which is up on the RX Muscle site right now, so if you want to see the whole assessment of what went on with some video. Julie Cooler and I did that, and that's up on the site. Got that up about 6 in the morning.
Yeah, well, I watched it. Yeah. It was cool that she came. She came with her mom, and, you know, I don't think her mom had ever been in New York before, and she got them tickets to the Lion King, and they saw a Broadway show. They were hanging out. She seemed to be having a really good time with her mom, and I always like to see that.
Yeah. She said her mom was driving her crazy there after a while. Though. But, you know, that comes with the territory.
Well, that's why she was sitting with us and not with mom.
Right. Well, I don't think mom came to the night show. But
No, but she was there for prejudging.
Yeah. No, it's good. She's a sweet girl, and she's really nice to look at, too. So that
yes, very nice to look at. Now, given the fact that she was not in this show and the lineup that you saw, how do you think things would have been shaken up if Julianne had actually been competing?
I think she definitely would have been top three, without a doubt. She might have been second again. I don't know if she might have even won. Who knows? But speaking of winners, Nicole Wilkins-Lee wins her second pro show of the year. This girl is just like a genetic freak when you talk about structure and figure. She's got the tiny waist, broad shoulders. I mean, her body was made for figure. I still don't think that she's peaked her body out, and she agrees. You know, the judges have told her that she still needs to get her conditioning down a little better if she's gonna do damage at the Olympia. But for her to, you know, win the show not at her best just tells you how good this girl can actually be.
Yeah, she looked incredible. And then, you know, the entire top three or four in that lineup were just really devastating women. Well, and so, you know, to be able to jockey that top row around, you know, and her coming out on top like that, I think is pretty amazing.
Well, Larissa Rice, who won the Atlantic City Pro Show the week before, finishes second here. She's got to be the hottest hot favorite if you're going for, you know, just that sexy, sultry look. We talked about her last week having that, like, Javille-ish, Javille-like, appeal. And she's Brazilian, you know, and in Brazil and in Europe, the figure girls are much more muscular. So when she came here last year and started competing as a pro, she had a lot of problems. They told her she was too big. So it took her an entire year to drop that muscle and bring her body in line with what the other girls are here in the United States. And now she's kicking ass.
Yeah. She reminds me of the comparisons to Javille, I would say Javille's evil twin.
Yes. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Because Javille is so sweet and innocent, you know, and you know, Larissa just gives you the cocks her head to the side a little bit and shoots you that look you could pour on a waffle.
Yeah.
And it's the whole audience falls prey.
And she's got that really cool tattoo on her elbow there.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, me too. So she's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And actually, Chris Zimmerman did some, and Dan Ray did some amazing pictures with her.
Yeah.
So we'll have those up on the site along with, I think you're going to be interviewing her if you can speak Portuguese.
I'm working on it. I have the Rosetta Stone CD in my computer.
She's actually speaking a lot better English than she did last year.
Yeah,
so
she is.
She'll be all right. Alicia Harris, one of our favorites. I know Sean and I really like her a lot. She's got to be one of the hottest girls out there as well. Finishes in third. So the lineup is a bunch of really beautiful women. And you know, that's not taking anything away from Cheryl and Leroy and Bethany Wagner, who are fourth and fifth. super hot too. It's always nice to have a top five lineup of pro figure women that are actually really good looking.
Yes, you know, where you the package is really, really completed when you add that, you know, beautiful face and hair and eyes and smile on top of an incredible physique. Because sometimes, you know, the judges, in all fairness, are looking at the physique, and sometimes, you know, you could have really anybody's head up there, but you know, when the whole image is completed by a pretty face, it really adds a lot more to the spectacle.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at these top five and you show these to like a bunch of high school kids, they'd probably be like, holy mackerel, yeah, those girls are hot. And exactly. that you don't, you can't say that very many times when you look at these top groupings of pros on the IFBB,
especially bodybuilders.
Yeah, well, I can understand, but sometimes the figure and fitness girls are not that good looking either, but this group happened to be spectacular.
Really spectacular.
Well, we'll see them all at the Olympia. Let's go on to the Team Universe now, and let's start with the men's category. The bantamweight was won by Samuel Lewis. The lightweight class was won by Kelly Pettiford, who's been around a long time. This guy keeps getting better and better. Jim Mannion, John, comes up to me and says, this is the best this guy ever looks. I can't understand how he keeps getting better.
How old is he?
I don't know. He's got to be in his 40s, but I hope I'm not insulting him, but I mean, I believe he's in his 40s. He's been doing it a long time. He might be in his late 30s. The guy looks spectacular. And you know what? Like I said, I agree with Jim Mannion. This is the best he's ever looked.
Yeah, he looked incredible. I don't really remember him from the past, but boy, he was really surprised me last night. And as you know, Dave, I really don't put much credence in these tiny weight classes with the little guys in them. But yeah, this guy really makes you go, wow.
But the great thing about the Team Universe, and a lot of people don't know this, is that when you win your weight class, it qualifies you to be a member of Team USA. That's why it's called the Team Universe.
Right.
We field a team for the Mr. Universe contest in whatever country they're holding. I think it's in Italy this year. And all the weight class winners, assuming they pass their drug test, will get paid airfare, hotel, and food over to wherever the world championships are being held, and they'll represent Team USA. Not many people win over there because it's very competitive over there. Ronnie Coleman was a guy who won the world championships.
Yes,
he turned pro.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a great show. I mean, I've been over there with Colette. She won the world championships, and believe it or not, I think the only woman to win the overall there from the United States. And I'm telling you, it's real exciting. It's like going to the Olympics almost.
Now, that's the show that used to be termed the Universe.
Right. It used to be called the Mr. Universe. Now it's called the IFBB World Amateur Championships, you know, and then parentheses, they call it the Universe.
Right. So that, you know, I think that was a great title. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger won it. Right. Lou Ferrigno won it. Right. Franco Colombo won it. Robbie Robinson won it. Mike Mentzer won it. But that's a great title. I'm at least parenthetically, it still exists, but I think they should just keep it the Universe.
Yeah. Who knows? There's probably some copyright or trademark infringement.
There's got to be a lawyer involved.
Of course. Now, in the welterweights, Dave Gooden wins this over Bill Michelli, who's also, I mean, it could have gone either way. These guys are both great competitors. The irony of the whole situation is that Dave Gooden won the men's 50 and over Masters class at the North American a couple weeks ago, getting his pro card.
Right.
So when I see him backstage, I'm like, Dave, what are you doing here? I mean, this guy's been competing a long time, and he took a long time to get his pro card. He's like, wait, I paid for the trip. I figured I might as well come and do the show. So he's going to now earn a berth to the world championships. You know, the great thing about it is when you earn the right for your pro card, you don't have to take it right away.
Right.
So he can go and do this show, and then he can come back and still accept the pro card. You know, a lot of people get upset when they see guys doing this because they feel that they're taking a placement away from someone else.
Well, you know, I think the rules should be changed that if you make that option, that pro card option should be available to the next guy down.
Maybe.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if it's your choice to not take it or to accept it and just continue, the fact that you already won it should, you know, pave the way for somebody else. It shouldn't take it away from somebody else.
Well, but it was different shows. It was a different, you know, even the IFBB North American Masters over 50 title enabled him to get the pro card. He doesn't lose that right, but that doesn't take away the fact that he can still compete as an amateur because he hasn't accepted the pro card yet at the Team Universe.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of people feel, well, why don't you just take the pro card for that and let Bill Michelli win this class and go to the Worlds? But, you know, Dave, that's up to him. You know, it's his option. Mm-hmm. Jose Raymond, you know, won his pro card three times and didn't take it. You know,
right,
so,
right.
You know, look, everyone's got to, you know, do what's best for them, I guess. And that was what Dave felt was best. The middleweight class was one of the most competitive classes of the entire show. Jeff Rodriguez, who was the reigning champion from the last year, faced off against Alan Bailey, who had been a previous champion as well here a couple years back. And Bailey gets the nod over to Rodriguez. What'd you think, John?
Yeah, well, you know, Bailey had the muscle. He was definitely thicker in the arms and the delts than J-Rod. But Rodriguez, I was really surprised because I had really never seen a guy at that level so incredibly shredded than this guy. He just had genetically his, you know, level of striations and cross striations he had in his body were just unbelievable. It was that when he flexed, it was like turning on the Christmas tree. It was absolutely amazing to see the way he lit up, you know, from head to toe. Condition, as you know, Dave, we always talk about this. Condition for us always wins over size. But in this case, you know, Bailey had the size and he had condition, but I guess he had a lot more muscle comparatively than J-Rod, and you know he edged him out. It could have gone either way. If I were to look at the score sheets, I would have to bet that it was extremely close.
Yeah, well, Rodriguez needs to go up to that light heavyweight class. I think he's been sucking down for the last 2 years, and I think every year I can't imagine how he makes the class. He's got to put on a little more size because he's got an unbelievable structure.
Right.
I mean, this is a natural for life competitor. He works for Species for me. The guy goes through 12 tubs of protein a month. He lives on protein powder. I mean, he just loves protein powder. He doesn't like food. And, you know, he might have to start incorporating some more food. Not that I don't want him using my great powders, but, you know, sometimes it's hard to gain weight if you're not eating solid food.
Yeah.
And obviously, he's got the whole conditioning thing down pat. I know he drinks 5 gallons of water the week before the show, John.
Wow.
To flush himself out so he gets real dry on stage. So he's got his system down that works, but he's got to put on a little more muscle because he does have a better structure, and his conditioning was slightly better than Bailey, but Bailey is shorter and he's a little thicker.
Yeah.
And that's what the judges went for. And I didn't have a problem with it, you know, even though I'm a J-Rod fan. So
yeah, he needs to go up to the next weight class.
And a very similar battle ensued in the light heavyweight class as well. Wendell Floyd, who's the sister of Cassandra Floyd, who won this Team Universe women's bodybuilding title last year and got her pro card. He wins the light heavyweight class and the overall. He gets his pro card here, making it a back-to-back for sister-brother year-to-year. He beats a two-time defending champion here, Kiyoshi Moody. Once again, Kiyoshi probably bringing a slightly better symmetrical package, slightly better conditioning. Wendell just packing more muscle on. What'd you think about that lineup?
Another one that could have gone either way, except I just love the way Wendell presented himself. I mean, he did a couple of great things in his posing routine that just wowed you. I mean, he pressed into that handstand that was just an incredible feat of strength if you've ever tried it. And a backflip, you know, to see a guy weighing that much and just be able to whip off a backflip like that on the bare ground is pretty incredible. I think he presented himself better than Kiyoshi, just from a purely presentation standpoint. And a lot of times, you know, it's the presentation and the ability to sort of expound upon your gifts and hide your flaws that is that thing that can edge you out. Again, I would have to bet that the scorecards are pretty close on that. Kiyoshi looked amazing. He was probably one of the best conditioned guys in the show, right up there with J-Rod. You know, certainly hinting of a Palumbo involvement, I would have to say. You can pick your guys out from the lineup, you know, fairly easily at this point that I've seen enough of them. He was really, really in great condition, but I, you know, you got to give the nod to Floyd for just having that little bit of extra thickness and his ability to present it.
I agree 100%. And I talked to Kiyoshi about this, and he has to go up to heavyweight because he's like my height, like 5'10", 5'11". Yeah. And the light heavyweight class is just, you know, he's giving up too much leg mass to these guys and because they're shorter than him. But he will be a future Team Universe champion. Yeah. He'll be a future pro, too, I predict, because this guy's got a great structure and he's a real hard worker, so don't count him out. And I think this is just maybe the push that he needed to get to move up to that next level. In the heavyweight class, Shiloh Steinmetz, who just came off a win at the NPC Atlantic City, wins here. You know, the class was kind of weird because you had Donovan Strong, who really had a great structure, but his upper body was so superior to his legs that I think it threw him out of balance a little bit.
Yeah, I love the name Donovan Strong. It's like PJ Braun. It's like Derek Poundstone.
Right.
It's one of those names that kind of just goes along with the sport, and right along that, right for that alone, you want the guy to win. But I don't know. I mean, that's I couldn't being a judge in a competition like that where you're looking at so many bodies, 300 and some odd competitors, and my vision would be so blurred by the time the men came along because they were on towards the end. I don't know how I would have put it. I mean, I really don't. I liked Donovan Strong better.
I thought Shiloh Steinmetz was more complete. His conditioning was better, especially in the lower body. You know, and he just brought more mass to the stage. And I don't think anyone's going to argue the heavyweight class was kind of weak at this show.
Yeah.
And obviously that's why the light heavyweight goes home the overall champion. So Wendell Floyd, congratulations. He gets his pro card, and he'll be competing in the IFBB next year. He might be a good 202 guy, John.
Yeah, I was thinking that looking at him last night. If he can, you know, pack it down to that 202 class.
Well, he's already in it. He could put on a few pounds still.
He could. And what I meant by pack it down, because, you know, these guys are small, so you can't pack it up. You got to pack it down to get into the 202s. But, I mean, I was considering in my mind a matchup between him and David Henry, Kevin English, Carrera. That guy fits in there. He really would fit in there. So, and I'm glad that 202 class is gaining the popularity it does, because when you have a guy that's this good that wins a show like this and earns his pro card, you know he's one of those guys that's going to be able to continue to entertain us down the road and not get lost in a sea of 250-pound plus guys and not make it anywhere.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see. Now, the men notoriously don't go to the world championships because I think they've been held in the Middle East the last couple of years, and they were afraid of security issues. Personally, at these bodybuilding shows, the security is awesome, and they really there's a real camaraderie. I still think it's a mistake not to send these teams.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't know I have to ask Jim Mannion what the deal is for this coming year for the men. I know the women will be going to Italy. The men might be there too. I don't know. I haven't checked it out. But let's move on to the women's bodybuilding, where Maria Carolina Davis defeats Jen Cowan, who is the junior USA overall champ from last year, and she's going to be going to Italy. She was very ecstatic after the show. She was another person who wanted an interview with me very badly to let me know that I guess the last time she competed, I had given her some constructive criticism, and she listened, and she brought a package that was, there's that word again, she brought a look that was wowed the judges. Her conditioning was flawless, and she wound up winning this class.
Yeah, that was a show or a class that was won on condition for sure. She just had that condition that you just couldn't say no to.
I mean, Jen had that like Barbie doll appeal, obviously, on a real nice symmetrical physique, but from behind, I think Maria just took her out.
That's exactly where it happened, because from the front, Jen Cowan killed her.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we always say, the bodybuilding shows are won and lost from the back.
Yep.
And this was one of those prime examples. Jen Cowan is a beautiful woman bodybuilder. Definitely that Barbie doll kind of attitude about her. But even from the front, she's devastating.
Yeah.
But she's got to work on her back.
Yeah, she just... conditioning was not what it was last year. She just needs to fine-tune that a little bit. In the middleweight class, Pam Wentz wins that class over probably a more muscular and leaner Maureen Meehan. You know, we talked about this yesterday, John. Maureen needs to work on her stage presentation, and when she does, she'll probably walk away with winning this champion, this title as well.
That was really disappointing to see the better bodybuilder lose it on presentation, because you don't really see it that often. But, I mean, Maureen, if you're listening, this is no knock, but you got to work on your presentation. It was just for that level of competition, you need to work on it. You just do. And like we were just talking about Kiyoshi and
Wendell,
you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, you had a much better bodybuilder hiding behind bad presentation.
Yeah.
So, you know, she could have won this class if she had worked on her presentation.
Well, I'm sure she'll bring that up. You know, she's a kindergarten teacher and, you know, probably was busy, and you know, she's got another show next year to concentrate on, and I'm sure she'll come out on top. In the heavyweight class, Michelle Pomay surprised this field. No one knew who she was or where she came from. She was a former figure competitor who, up until even last year, was trying to compete in figure, and she was just getting pummeled.
She was an add-on. We didn't even have her on the competitor list.
We didn't know who she was.
Who the heck is this girl?
You know, and she comes here. She dominates. She brings a lot of muscle. She brings a lot of conditioning. another one with the presentation. Needs to almost lost the class on her lack of presentation.
Right.
I gave her a few tips. I know between prejudging a night show and when she came back, she looked a lot better. Because the second place finisher, Teresa Hendricks, is the performance artist extraordinaire. She is Diana Dennis, you know, reincarnate. Her presentation is just flawless. Her artistic posing is beautiful. And she had the same problem she always has.
Soft
from behind in the glute and hamstring area. And she... this year, she had a very good excuse because she had an injury she was recovering from. That's why she wasn't even in the show last year. And, you know, I expect to see her back next year winning the show, the overall.
It would be nice because that it's really nice to watch her pose and you know, sort of present her body in, as a female form in an exotic, artistic way. And, you know, when the package is complete, there's that word again, the presentation just, it just makes such a huge difference. And when someone really knows how to move like she does, it's the Kai Greene effect.
Yeah, no, I agree. She'll be back. You'll see. She'll win this class next year. All right, let's move on to figure where a lot of 12 pro cards were given out, John. I'm not going to announce all of them. There's too many names. But Monica Mark Escalante wins the overall, the Class B and the overall. She gets her pro card and some fantastic accolades because she beat a field of probably 200 or 180 women or something like that. Nicole Coleman wins the A class. Gina Trocchino wins the C class. The D class is won by Diana Kiefer, Danielle Kiefer, excuse me. The E class by Kat Ramirez, our RX Muscle Diva. And the F class is won by Stephanie Billing. So congratulations to those girls. In a new division here at the Team Universe, Masters Figure Division, Angela Mraz, who if anyone's that may sound familiar to people, she had gone over to the WNBF natural division, and she was like their like poster girl for 5 years, and she did a photo shoot with like some magazine in Europe, and they had this like really exclusivity policy. They kicked her out of the organization. What a bunch of dummies.
To their chagrin.
Yeah, so she came over back to the IFBB where she wins the Masters figure overall, and she gets her pro card. So congratulations. It doesn't look like you're hurting at all in that one photo shoot you did. And a lot of people don't realize Dave Gooden used to be in that same organization, and he got kicked out as well because he did a photo shoot with Iron Man. Like, he's going to turn down an Iron Man magazine photo shoot because they're putting him in that, you know, that natural physique magazine
that no one reads.
Yeah. So congratulations, Angela. In the fitness division, they gave out 6 pro cards, John. I'm not going to name all the girls, but the overall was won by Katie Puckett. No relation to Kirby Puckett, although her husband calls her Kirby because he's a baseball player. And I guess he likes Kirby. Yenny Polanco wins one of those high classes. I don't remember which one. With the best routine of night. Actually, she won the fitness A class. She did this jump rope. Did you see that jump rope routine?
It was incredible.
I wanted a video, and I was backstage when she was doing it. What a freaking routine that was.
It was really amazing. It was almost one of those routines that would be turned into sort of like a halftime show at the Arnold Classic.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
I utterly enjoyed it. It was nonstop action. She belongs on the Olympia stage with that routine.
Without a doubt.
And I'm sure one day she will be on the Olympia stage. I personally thought she was going to win the overall, but Katie Puckett wins it. Lauren DiNapoli wins the final class B and gets her pro card as well. And once again, I mentioned earlier, Ariel Kadar comes in second at that fitness A class and gets her pro card, the youngest pro of all time at 17 years in 1 week.
I think that's the story of the night.
Yeah, I do too. And she even said, and like I said, she even said hello to Nick the Stick. So.
Yeah. It was nice to see Linda Wood Hoyt, you know, the IFBB judge, kind of put her arm around her and say, "Do you have someone picking you up? Or are you?" You know, she was like, so concerned about her because she's this little girl, you know. Then she's only about 4'2", you know, and I'm sure she's taller than that, but not much.
4'10", maybe.
Yeah, she's this cute little thing, all, you know, dolled up, looking like a little glamour queen, and you know, you got Linda Wood Hoyt, who's, you know, concerned about her safety, running around loose in New York.
Yeah, I know.
That was cute. That was a really cute moment.
Her
backstage.
Mom Roxanne was backstage, and you know, she's our biggest supporter. I think Roxanne was more excited than Ariel herself.
Well, Roxanne's a bodybuilder.
Yeah, she
knows. So she understands completely the drama of the competition and the, you know, what it means to win and everything. And I don't know. I was in the audience. I thought Roxanne was more overjoyed than Ariel.
I just said that. And the funny thing is, Ariel was so burnt on the dieting, I don't even think she wanted to do the show. And that's usually when you do your best, when you have that like carefree attitude, you know.
Yeah.
She nailed the routine and she did a great job.
Great
congratulations.
Job.
All right, well, John, we got to go to a commercial break. We have a great show tonight. We have Lonnie Teeper on, who's going to break down and handicap the Olympia for us. We have Arthur L. Ray and TJ Humphreys on to give us an update on what's going on with ALR Nutrition and Lone Star Distribution, and to talk about the Olympia after party. So let's get ready to rock and roll, man.
All right, I'm going to drink down a Progenix right now while we're taking a break, and we'll be right back.
All right.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenix protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenixSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenix product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29-gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. German American Technologies. Compete harder with GATT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuse. GATT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGAT.com. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RxMuscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno of Incredible Hulk. You are listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo. And keep listening, the best show on the air.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
I'd like to welcome back our next guest, the man they call the Swami, to help us get a better grasp of what's going to be occurring in less than 4 short days from today at the Mr. Olympia contest. Lonnie Tieper, welcome back.
Hey guys, how you doing?
How's it going out there in California? I heard it's pretty hot out there.
It's hot, yeah. We've had some fires. It's still not 100% contained. Started about 3 weeks ago, and then the temperature went up to 100 plus. We're going to be about 105 during the week. So this may be one time where Las Vegas will be cooler than L.A., where I'm coming from.
And they have water, too.
And they have some water, unlike in Central California.
We should get that Arnold impersonator, John, back on the show to see if he can get the water turned back on. He sounds so much like an Arnold.
Yeah, we probably have him prank call the Federal Water District. threaten him that he's going to have a Terminator squad come and turn the water on themselves.
Lonnie, before I get to the Olympia, we had the NPC Team Universe here in New York last night. I don't know if you followed any of our coverage on RX Muscle.
Yes, I did. I was hoping that my former junior Cal winner would finally take home the title, Kiyoshi Moody.
I know.
But I see that the last couple years he won his class, didn't win the overall. But that Floyd kid looked good from the pictures you guys had.
Yeah, now, I was actually working with Kiyoshi this year, and you know, I think he's going to have to move up to the heavyweight class. He's a little tall.
Yeah, he's at least 5'10", yeah. And it's hard to, you know, what do you weigh in at, 196? I'll be honest, yeah. Now, I'm biased because he won my show. But I still think the overall package, I wasn't there in person. But I just think, you know, calves to the top of the head, I still thought he had the edge.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, liked Kiyoshi. I don't think it was a runaway, but Wendell Floyd, who happens to be the brother of Cassandra Floyd, who won last year's female bodybuilding title at the Team Universe there, took home the gold. And I think what you're going to find is that, you know, that might be a record of some kind, Lonnie.
That is interesting. Now, when I emceed the San Jose Championships on July 11th, we had a mother and a son win the overalls. Fatima Johnson won the women's bodybuilding. Remember her, she's been around forever.
Sure. Yeah.
And her son, Ruben Escobar, took the overall in the men.
Yeah, but this was for pro cards, Lonnie. So,
yeah,
2 years in a row.
You know, they're both deserving. You know, she was great. And Wendell, looking at those pictures, like I said, I'm probably a little slanted towards Kiyoshi because I know him and he won my show and so forth, but yeah. that Floyd looked great, so I'm sure it was a fair decision.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the meat and potatoes here, because everyone's asking who's going to win. There's so much gossip out there now. People are saying, you know, I hear a lot of Jay Cutler fans, you know, talking about Jay making a comeback here of a sort and taking that title. Lonnie, you're very high on Jay Cutler this year. Tell us what you like about him.
Well, I think, Dave, that, you know, really, this is, Jay's coming to the end of his competitive career. He is such a, you know, a blue-collar, hard-working, competitive guy. He hasn't really said too much in the last year, but you know he's never been more focused, and that's saying a mouthful. And, you know, he's got a lot of pride, and I know that he's, you know, it hurts his feelings that not a lot of people are picking him to win. Some people have him as low as fourth or fifth. I think, you know, if he can come in great condition, he's got so much muscle, and I think the deciding factor will be that he's so much wider than everybody else, that when he stands next to these people, he's going to make everybody look narrow. Now, that's, of course, if he is spot on 100%. And that's asking a lot, because, you know, the difference now, Dave, is in the old days, we used to see the people before the show.
Right.
They wouldn't be afraid to show. Now you look at the videos and everybody's training. Go see Kai Green train hamstrings, and he's wearing 4 layers of sweat. You know, so who in the world knows what these guys look like 3-4 days out?
Right. Well, back in the day, they all trained at Gold's in Venice before the Olympics. So.
Yeah, that's true. You could actually drive down and see them. But now, it's, you know, there's a big dance before the big dance. You know, let's dance right around, showing anybody what we really look like. And I do know this, a couple people told me they had seen some recent pictures of Jay and were much higher on him than they were before, and they think he's got a legitimate shot. I will admit, I have not seen him or anybody. I have not seen photos of anybody, and I did my Olympia picks the morning after the USA. We're talking about 2 months ago,
right.
And I'm sticking with the same guys because I really don't know.
Well, I saw Cutler down in Florida. I think it was at the Dexter Jackson show guest posing, and he looked good, but you know he wasn't in contest shape. You know, Jay's always big, and he kind of does stay closer to his contest weight than most other guys do. But he certainly wasn't, you know, ready to get on stage and with striated glutes. So, you know, I mean, he's always been close. So I haven't seen him in 2 years on stage at the level he was when he won the Olympia and beat Ronnie. I don't know if he can do it. I personally think that a lot of people are making Jay the sentimental, you know, favorite here because of the fact that maybe this is toward the end of his career and they'd like to see him get one more. Whether he can bring it or not, I don't know. What do you think, John?
Well, you know, Jay is, Delaney makes a lot of good points about Jay being the blue collar guy and a hard worker. And certainly this is, if there's any Olympia to take more seriously than any others, it would be this Olympia after last year's disappointing Olympia. You'd think that he'd really want to put his nose to the grindstone and try to get as close to that 2001 condition as he possibly could. That said, he's up against a lot of brick walls, you know, namely Dexter Jackson, who, and Lonnie, as you know, historically, the Mr. Olympia title is awfully hard to hand off to somebody else when the current Mr. Olympia is still in the box.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So Dexter not only has that going for him, but he also has the fact that this is the first time in his in a very long stretch of his competitive career that he has had an entire year to get ready for the Mr. Olympia contest. So I think with those two factors in his corner, the time that he's had to train and prepare and the fact that he is already Mr. Olympia, I think he's going to be a very, very tough guy to knock out of that spot. What do you think?
You know, he looks like the Sandow Trophy. The guy's just carved, chiseled muscle. No question, not only is he a great bodybuilder, he's one of the best of all time now. He's earned that slot. And let me tell you, I have him fourth in my top 10 because I just really didn't know where else to put him. But if Dexter Jackson repeated as Mr. Olympia, it would not surprise me. There's five guys, I think. Well, let me change it. I think there's four legit guys that have a shot at winning this title where I really don't think it would be an upset.
Right, right. You know, Dexter Jackson's always the guy that no one knows where to put, and then if everyone doesn't seem to be on 100% on their game, he winds up winning. You know, that's how his history has been in the past. With
Dave, let me ask you a question, and John, too, ask you this question, too. You guys know a lot about this game and getting people prepared for contests and so the training, the nutrition. What do you do if you're working with Jay Cutler and you see that he looks tremendous leading up to the show, and you come game day, and he's off. You know, he's holding water or whatever the situation is. How would you approach it? It looks like in those pictures that I've seen with the clothes, you know, I saw the pictures from that Jacksonville show, but that was 9 weeks out. He looked kind of small and flat, but it may be by design to be a little smaller, and maybe he's going the other way, and he's eating into the show rather than backing off.
Well, in my mind, since I do get people prepared for shows, if Jay looks great a week out, I don't change anything, you know. I think that maybe some of his mistakes occurred when he tried to, you know, fill up too much because he was worried that he wasn't going to be big enough on stage. If Jay's 100% or 99% at, you know, on Monday, the day of this show, you know, we're doing right now, I don't change anything. You know, if he's not and he starts having to play tricks to try to get himself dry for whatever reason, just he can't peak his body, he has health conditions. Yeah, I've heard tons of rumors. I don't know what to do. I don't know if he's capable of getting in that condition that he needs to be to win this show. I mean, this is a stacked lineup, Bud, Lonnie.
Yeah, well, and John, as John said, you talk about these brick walls, and he mentioned Dexter Jackson. And, of course, you throw in Phil Heath, who a lot of people thought could have won the show last year, and I'm one of them, and the man-beast, Kai Greene, who's been holding up in Vegas the last 6-7 weeks. You know, God knows what he's going to look like after coming off that amazing you know, performance at the Arnold.
Let's talk about Kai Green for a minute, because I've gone on record, as you know, on several other radio shows as well, as saying that I think that Kai Green, this is his title to lose. If he comes in 100%, no one beats him. He's just too much of a freak. What do you think about that statement?
I can see why you feel that way. I could see why somebody would pick Jay. I could see why somebody would pick Dexter, as John brought out those great points about Dexter, who's always in spectacular shape. I could understand thinking that Kai Green would win based on what you just said, Dave. And we all know why we think Phil Heath may be able to win.
Well, based on the fact, let's assume, which this is never the case, Lonnie. Let's assume everyone's at their best, okay? Given their best past performance. Who wins in your mind of Dexter, Jay, Kai, and Phil?
I think that Jay can beat him. I know you disagree with me, and you're certainly far from alone in that viewpoint, but I really think Jay could win that show if he's on his game. But, I mean, he has no margin for error against this group. Number one, the judges and the fans are going to be looking right away saying, you know, the guy has not been on Showtime the last couple of years. We know who he's going against this year, probably the deepest lineup in a decade. There's no window of opportunity here. You got to be on 100%, no ifs or buts about it. Then I think he's really got a great shot at winning, and he would be then become the first guy ever to regain the Sandow.
What about Franco?
That's a heck of a theme going into this game.
Franco Colombo.
Did he come back and win the Olympia after losing it?
Well, he didn't lose it. He hurt himself. So.
Yeah, he hurt himself.
Yeah, I mean, after losing the title.
Oh, well, you know, what do you think is, you know, everyone's been saying that they think that this person or that person can beat Kai Green. What weaknesses does Kai Green have that would enable anyone to beat him if he's 100%?
I don't think he doesn't flow like perhaps Dexter, or particularly Victor Martinez, who we haven't talked about. I think we'd all include Victor Martinez as a title contender under normal circumstances, but at the Arnold, it looked like he wasn't all the way back from that knee surgery, and of course, you know, he had the tragedy of his sister being killed in the summer, and I see where he's opened up a restaurant in New Jersey. That's had to take his time, you know, emotionally, physically, financially. So I think Victor Martinez has the best shape of all of them. Kai Green, ounce for ounce, has the most muscle probably on the stage, him and Brance Warren. But if there is any negative, I don't even want to call it a negative because it's certainly not much. I just don't think he flows quite as well as a couple of the other guys.
Yeah, I think you guys are being a little too fickle when it comes to omitting Victor Martinez from that top group, because the question was, Lonnie, at their best. And
That's true.
In my mind, Victor Martinez should already have two Sandows on his mantle. So, you know, that being a pretty indisputable fact, you'd have to think that if he has had this time to come back and bring his legs back, and from what I hear, and again, you know, this is me playing Swami, and I'm out of my game in that regard, Lonnie. But from what I hear, his legs are back. So given the fact, let's assume for a moment that Victor's legs have come back. He's really had that year to, you know, recover from his surgery. Maybe his sister's death has motivated him a little more to work a little harder. You know, he's not really in there rattling pots and pans in the restaurant. So, I mean, he's had time to train and do everything else. I know he's in Florida right now. You know, if Victor Martinez brought his legs back up and maybe even improved them a little bit, where do you put him in that mix? If Victor Martinez shows up at his best in among that lineup of guys at their best, what do you think?
Well, you know, I guess we go from four to five. Originally, I said five people could win it. Of course, I included Victor in that five. And I don't know. I just guess, and I shouldn't do this because, again, I haven't seen him. I'm just going to go out on the line and say he's not going to be at his best. I still think all those things that have taken place, thrown in with the depth and the breadth of this field, I just would be very, very surprised if he came in at 100%. Now, if he did, could he beat these guys? Yes, because he has the best shape of the field.
I agree with you. If Victor was his best, I would think that he'd be a very dangerous guy up there. But I'm going to go with you on this one, Lonnie. I think that that leg still hasn't gotten back. I think he's going to probably need till next year to, if he's, you know, keeps training it hard, to get it back to what it was. Having said that, these other guys are really catching him. One guy in particular, you mentioned Phil Heath. Let's talk a little bit more about him, because, you know, I've dismissed him a couple times myself, because structurally I think that from behind he's not quite as dominant as some of the other guys like Kai Greene and Jay Cutler, because of the you know, the clavicle issue that we always discuss with Phil. But he's a freak. He was the one who impressed me probably the most down at Dexter's show when he was guest posing. Of course, contests aren't won on what you look like when you guest pose, but this guy could be the biggest surprise of the lineup.
It wouldn't even be a surprise to me. I mean, there's a lot of people that are saying that he wins the Olympia. And like I said, if he would have won in 2008, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Right.
Yeah. Isaac Hines, who lives in the Denver area, who has seen Kai, I think he did a photo shoot,
Phil,
a few weeks ago, says he's off the charts. So, of course, you could be off the charts 4 weeks out and come prejudging, off the stage. But
that's not Phil Heath.
Right. I'm telling you, I think that Phil Heath, I still remember how mind-boggling he looked when he won our Ironman a couple years ago. And I tell you, this is a hard lineup to really predict. I mean, you know, usually when I have a guy in fourth or fifth, I really don't think they have a shot of winning a particular event. I have people in fourth and fifth here who can win the event. I have Heath third back-to-back years, and, you know, as you know, when you're doing these predictions, it's all a guessing game, particularly when you don't see anybody, and we're trying to hype up the event and make it fun and put ourselves on the line, and in my case, look stupid a lot of times, but... you know, this thing could be all over the place, man.
Well, speaking of being all over the place, let's look at it this way. All right, we have what we think is the top box locked up. Okay, we got Dexter Jackson, Jay Cutler, Kai Greene, Victor Martinez, and Phil Heath. Pretty much a tied-up field, except for these guys that can poke some holes in that box. Namely, one of them being big, bad Dennis Wolf. What if Dennis Wolf comes in at, you know, 290 pounds shredded out of this world? Where do you put him?
Well, I really expected big things from Dennis last year. I thought he could be, you know, battle for the title. I didn't think he was really any better than he was the year before. But let me tell you, you're right. This guy is big. He's about 5'11", 6 foot. He's about 260 pounds. He can come in rock hard condition. He's got the muscle, and the fans like him. Dennis Wolf could cause some problems here. You know, no one's really talked about him. I have him in sixth because I didn't know where else to put him, really, right, with that great field. But is he good enough to win it? I say no. Is he good enough to battle for a top three spot? I say yes.
Wow. Well, Chad Nichols on the PBW radio show mentioned that he was looking at Dennis Wolf coming in around 285, which would be like 23 pounds heavier than last year or something like that.
So that means he'll be 263 on stage.
Yeah. So I don't know if Chad was exaggerating a little bit.
10% discount.
Yeah,
it's a 20%. But Dennis does, you know, have one of those structures that when he stands next to people, he does make them look weak. So if you want to go from a structural standpoint, you know, he's got to be up there with Victor Martinez and, you know, probably Phil Heath in that sense.
That's true. And then, you know, you got a guy, an interesting guy like Branch Warren, who's got so much muscle, was third at the Arnold, the disputed third at the Arnold.
Right.
I had him second ahead of Martinez. Doesn't have the shape of Victor, but had so much hardcore beef. And, you know, what if he comes in looking like he did at the Arnold? Could he be a top five guy?
I saw pictures of him yesterday. George Farah showed me some on his phone, I guess the most recent updates. And you know what? The guy's shape looks pretty good. His waist is small. I mean, he looks freaky. I almost like the way he looks right now, depleted out, you know, a couple, you know, 5 days out. Then, you know, when he gets filled up, I was really impressed, actually, with the shape on him. So, you know, if he comes in as shredded as he looked in these pictures, he could definitely upset the apple cart, so to speak.
Now, Dave, here's a guy, and of course, you're the person to ask about this. I hear that one guy's really upset that he's not being considered for the title, or probably not even in the top six in most of the predictions, Tony Freeman.
Well, Tony Freeman is another person who I just received. I've been getting daily pictures from. And I got to tell you, I was going to bring him. I was saving him for last because he's a little upset that people aren't talking about him. But in a sense, he's actually happy because he likes that dark horse, underdog type status he's achieved. He's a freak. He's about 15 pounds heavier than he was at the Arnold Classic. And I'm telling you, I don't think anyone structurally is better than Tony Freeman.
Well, I tell you the truth. He's a big fan of Freeman and physique is John Balik. Matter of fact, at not last year's Olympia, but the Olympia before, we walked back after prejudging into the Orleans hotel from the arena, and you could tell, of course, by the call-outs, he wasn't going to be in the top two or three.
Right.
I think he finished fourth or fifth or something.
That was last year. Was that last year?
And John Balik said, how come he's not winning this contest?
He could have won. Yeah, I heard a lot of people tell me that.
What a great physique, you know. What are you talking about? 6'2", 275, 280. I mean, great lines. There's another great guy.
He's 295 right now, Lonnie, and he'll probably come down, I figure, another 7 pounds. But this guy's going to be, enormous on stage, and I'm telling you, he's really going to shock a lot of people.
Well, I'd be happy for Tony if he did. I think, the guy's 43 years old. He continues to defy the aging process, and he's been among the top guys for a long time. And again, he's another one. These are the greatest bodybuilders in the world. I think if you go the top seven or eight people, like John had mentioned, there's some people outside the box that could move those numbers around. And there's no question about that. When you make these picks, these people are so close. How do you decide between a Tony Freeman and a Branch Warren? Two totally different physiques.
Right.
Or a Tony Freeman and a Kai Greene, even, who's wall-to-wall muscle, but 5 or 6 inches shorter, doesn't have the flow of a Tony Freeman. I mean, this is why it's the Mr. Olympia.
If Tony Freeman put those 15 pounds into his upper middle back, I don't see him, walking away anywhere less than the top three. I mean, he would be an absolute, contender at that point. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what. If he looked like he has last year and he won the show, it wouldn't be a shock to me. I mean, that's how good this guy is. The problem is we're talking about seven or eight great guys. And we haven't even talked about, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, I wasn't at these shows, but Dennis James racked up a couple victories later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Gustavo Bedell had a good comeback at Atlantic City a couple weeks ago. We're probably talking about top 10 guys there.
Right.
Melvin Anthony faded to fourth. Is there anybody else that we haven't mentioned?
We were just going to get to that next little grouping there that you just started mentioning, Gustavo, Dennis James, and Silvio Samuel.
Could they possibly make the top six? Now, Silvio guest posed at the Tournament of Champions that I emceed last week, and he was holding more water than Lake Mead, but, that really doesn't mean anything 2 weeks out.
He can help the drought over there in California.
Yeah, I was going to send him up to Fresno.
Poke a hole in him.
But, as we know, 2 weeks can be an eternity. Pre-contest look 2 weeks out. But is there anybody else that could possibly crack the top six that we haven't mentioned? I'm sticking back to the top six now. I don't think so. I think we had the five or six guys that we met. We actually probably put in seven or eight. And I think those guys, was Melvin Anthony's day as a top six guy over? He was sixth the last 2 years.
I don't think Melvin is gonna, unless Melvin comes in like ridiculously shredded, I don't think Melvin has a chance at that top six. I think he has a size issue, but no one will doubt that the guy's front double bicep may be the best in the sport. But I think he loses a little bit on some of the back poses and those side poses. He doesn't have that grainy, dry like Mr.
Olympia.
We gotta
throw him in there too when we talk about among the athletes with the best shape in the lineup.
Sure.
I don't want to leave out Marvelous Melvin, because when it comes to pure shape, that beautiful, 28-inch waist.
Right.
But like you say, there's this areas, there's pockets on him that just aren't thick enough, and he never seems to be hard enough in the glutes and the hams to, he's been good enough to be in the top six, but going up another notch against this group,
But now yeah. Lonnie, but now Lonnie Gustavo has been, you know, he's been third at the Olympia. So, I mean, he's not, it's not unlikely to talk about Gustavo in that kind of light. I mean, granted, the field wasn't as deep back then, but still, you know, you're talking about a guy who won the challenge round against Ronnie Coleman.
Yeah, so, but that was 4 or 5 years ago. This, can Gustavo beat Kai Greene?
No.
Phil Heath?
No.
Dexter Jackson, nothing against Gustavo. He's been a great bodybuilder, too, and he did look terrific in Atlantic City. Kudos to his comeback. But I'm saying right now, he cannot beat those guys.
No, I agree. I agree with that statement. And, you know, it's funny, but you, just to go back to Melvin for a minute, you know, when I think of bodybuilders, when I, you know, we do these fantasy games, you know, who would you like to look like type of thing? You know, I don't know if I'd like to look like Kai Greene. I always say either Tony Freeman or Melvin Anthony. That's like, you know.
I'll take the last place guy, whoever it is, and I'll settle for that for even a day.
You'll take looking like John, Lonnie.
Yeah, without question.
Wow.
No offense, buddy.
Much, guys. You know, I mean, if I had my own show, it'd be called Little Muscle Radio. So, you know.
Well, you know, I don't know, Lonnie. Let's try to run down the picks. Okay, so one, give us your top six.
Okay, I'm going to stick with who I've been going with since July, because really nothing's changed for me because I haven't seen anybody. I'm going Cutler first, Kai Greene second, Phil Heath third. Somehow I have the chiseled Sandow statue, Dexter Jackson in fourth. He's going to club me over the head for that. I got in fifth place. I had Victor Martinez. I'd like to switch to Dennis Wolf, but I'm going to stay with Martinez in fifth, and I'll go Wolf sixth.
That's pretty close to mine. What are yours, John?
I'm gonna keep Dexter Jackson in first place. I just think he has too much going for him to count him out of that. To knock him out of the Mr. Olympia berth. I just can't see it happening. He is Mr. Olympia. Historically, Mr. Olympia's repeat. It takes an awful lot to knock out the reigning champ. And he's had a whole year, and I just know that he's going to be 100%. He's never off. So that being the case, I got Dexter Jackson in first. Second place, I have Victor Martinez, because I believe his legs are, from what I'm hearing, his legs are coming back, and he's had rightfully should be the owner of two Sandows by now. He's a top contender. I'm putting him in second place. I have Jay Cutler. I'm hoping Jay Cutler has taken it as seriously as I've heard. If that's the case, I got him in third place. I got Phil Heath in, I got Kai Greene in fourth. I got Phil Heath in fifth. And I have, who am I missing?
I think you got too many people in there, actually.
Did I?
Go through it again. Who's first?
John, we're gonna pass this off as that travel, you know, the effects of the travel moving from Florida.
He's so shocked.
Who did I miss? I got Dexter.
I think you gave two fourth places.
Phil Heath in fifth?
Well, no. Where do I have him? I don't know where I have him. I'm going first, second, third. It's all I really care about. I worry about the podium, you know? The Olympics, if it's good enough for the Olympics, it's good enough for me, you know? First, second, and third.
Who's first, second, and third in your book?
First is Dexter Jackson. Second, Victor Martinez. Third is Kai Greene.
All right. That's your, my picks are first place Kai Greene, second place Dexter Jackson, third Phil Heath, fourth Jay Cutler, fifth I'm going to go with Tony Freeman, sixth place I'm going to go with Victor Martinez, seventh Dennis Wolf. So that's my picks. Probably be all wrong, but you know, well, I'm putting them out there.
What
at least.
We're picking here is nits. You know, where this is, you know, this is like saying, okay, did you want a pound of gold, a pound of silver, a pound of platinum, or, you know,
I'll take the platinum,
cash, you know,
cash.
Yeah, this isn't the easiest thing to do. This is like deciding who you want to take out Saturday night between Lauren Conrad and Halle Berry. and Jessica Biel.
But now, Lonnie, as you know, in your, you know, you've done this more than anybody. I mean, in terms of, you know, standing up there and looking at the poet at the dais. When you're emceeing a show like this and you're looking down at the judges, I know I watch you studying the judges all the time. What do you think? I mean, we're trying to pick these things. Of course, the guys are not standing in front of us, but assuming you're a judge and you're sitting there in front of 10 guys, the likes of which we've just mentioned, all at their best. I mean, my first option is to throw the pen down and leave the theater and forget it. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't even be able to know where to start. What do you think these guys, the judging panel, how do you think their criteria starts to materialize in front of them when they have this kind of field standing on the stage?
Well, I tell you what, I still think as experienced as they are, and I never criticize the judges because it's such a tough job, but after seeing that Kai Greene was trailing Martinez at the Arnold by 4 points, which is shocking to me.
Me too.
I think there is some type of preconception going in, and they are normal. So I think you go in expecting certain people are going to look like this, and they're going to be the guys that you're directly, your eyes are going to. I think what they're going to have to do in this case is there's going to really have to be a lot of call-outs, and they got to be varied call-outs.
Agreed.
Not just call-outs with two or three different people.
Right.
Let's mix it up, and let's bring 8 or 10 different guys and compare them to everybody so there's no question. And then even with that, there will be a question.
But they typically don't do that. I mean, but
they're going to have
to. Yeah, well, they should. They need to with this one.
And you know what? If they do that, Lonnie, and they run these guys through tons and tons of poses, you know, you might actually see the guys that have the endurance and who really can handle it will come out. You might see a Dexter Jackson win because of that. Because a Kai Greene may pass out on stage and not make it through all those rounds, you know?
Well, yeah. You know, you're going to have to be in great shape. And these guys deserve, this is the best of the best. They deserve a long, hard look, and they deserve multiple looks.
Yeah.
Whether it takes a little longer, that's the way it goes. You
right.
know, this is the big dance. It happens once a year. There's a lot at stake. First place prize money boosted up to $200,000.
That's crazy.
The runner up gets $100,000. There's a lot at stake.
Yeah.
You know, in like in Jay's case, of course, Dexter wants to defend the title. Hasn't got a lot of respect. Jay wants to be the first guy to win the title back after losing it on stage. Kai Greene's a guy that, you know, has come from a really, you know, sad background as far as not having a functional family unit and come to the top of the world and shocked everybody at the Arnold. And you got Phil Heath, it calls himself the Gift, and we understand why. I mean, there's so many stories here. The rebound of Victor Martinez after a tragic summer. You know, there's so many stories within the stories. But then, on top of all that, like we talked about, you got a guy, Tony Freeman, who's 6'2", 285 pounds, with beautiful lines, you know. This guy is a tremendous story, too. Sat out 5 or 6 years after his years as a high-ranking national guy in the 90s, where I then called him the future, and I said, the future is now. That was in the 90s.
Mm.
Well, actually, I was wrong by about a decade or so, but you know, which isn't the first time. But this yeah. I think the greatest thing about this contest is no matter who wins, no matter who finishes second and third, you know, I think for the first time, and I probably had hair the last time I went into this contest thinking, I have no idea who's going to be 1 through 5.
Probably 1998, when the first year Ronnie won. I don't think anyone knew who was going to win there. You had Nasser, you had Ronnie.
But, you know, even then, I think Wheeler was a clear favorite.
And he didn't win, so that's even better.
And he didn't win, but I think going in, you thought Ronnie had a chance, but most people were going with Wheeler. And you're right, that was a great wide-open field, too, but I don't think there's ever been one as wide-open as this group.
Hmm. Do you think that this group is better quality than the 98 group, or do you think the 98 still blew it away?
You know, it's really hard to say. It's different times, different eras. Who's the greatest basketball player of all time? You know, I think Michael Jordan is, but then people may say, well, he was the best of his era, but Bill Russell was the best of his era, and now you got LeBron James or Kobe Bryant of this era. I almost feel it's the same thing with bodybuilding.
But it's not because you can't compare the basketball skills of those against each other, but with bodies you can do it.
Well, I'll say this. At their all-time best, Ronnie Coleman is the best bodybuilder still.
No, I'm talking about 1998 Olympia versus this Olympia. What do you think? Which one do you think is going to go down as a better overall quality of competitors?
Well, I'll have to wait and see the show before I can tell you that because, you know, we don't know. Are they all going to? What if they all show up smooth? Then I'll say 98.
Yeah, well, you know, that's not going to happen. I don't know.
Well, 98, what did we have? We had Coleman first, Wheeler second, was Nasser third?
Nasser third. Lavroni fourth.
Fourth, and Sean Ray was fifth.
Yeah, that's a top five.
I think
Cormier
was sixth.
Yeah, that's
pretty hard to top that. You're talking about. You know, the all top 10 greatest all time bodybuilders.
Yeah,
so this stage, I'm going 98.
Me too.
And yeah, I disagree. We'll see if 2009 will be as divine.
I disagree with both of you guys. I think this year's field is when we see that first call out, and we know that first call out is going to be Dexter Jackson, Jay Cutler, Kai Greene, Phil Heath, Victor Martinez. When you see those five guys standing up there in the shape of their lives, it's going to blow 98 out of the water.
No way. I just don't think the guys are as good as they were back then. Yeah. I'm not saying the lineup is not as deep.
Well, let's compare them head straight up. Nobody in this field is as good as Ronnie Coleman.
Or Flex Wheeler. Maybe not even Kevin LaRoe.
I guess possibly Sean Ray.
So, yeah. So in other words,
Dexter Jackson better than Sean Ray when Sean Ray was at his best?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I think he is.
While we're
playing fantasy bodybuilding, then let's throw a few of those guys into the mix. What if Flex Wheeler and Kevin Lavroni and Ronnie Coleman were also up there right now? You know, in 98 shape. Are you gonna relegate Dexter Jackson, Jay Cutler, Kai Greene, and Victor Martinez to down to fourth, fifth, and sixth place?
I would.
Wow.
I may have to. I'll tell you the one guy that I really would have trouble moving way down there, and this guy is not a recent phenomenon like everybody's saying he is. It's Kai Greene.
Yeah.
Kai Greene's been great for 2 years. He didn't finish as high as he should have at the New York show, and then he was spectacular in Denver a while, 2-3 years ago.
Right.
He hasn't just come on. This guy is a beast. And of all those guys that we mentioned, I'd have the biggest problem of taking a Kai Greene and moving him down to fifth or sixth place.
Well, that should tell you who your winner is, given if he comes in 100%.
Well, let me tell you, I really vacillated back and forth. Half of me wanted to pick Kai Greene. I just think Jay's got so much on the line, and he's such a hardcore guy. And I guess what I'm doing is thinking that Jay will be at his all-time best. And
you're trying to get into the judge's mind. You're trying to get into the judge's mind.
Yeah, I think Lonnie's just trying to ensure that that discount price for Jay guest posing on his show.
I don't have a contest at this point for next year, so
you don't?
I got to throw that angle out. Rosemead High says I don't have the venue yet. I'm looking for what's the name of that high school back there? East Side, Bayside, or where is Seaford? Seaford High School.
Seaford High School, yeah. You want to come do it out here?
Yeah.
Move it out here. Classic, the Seaford High School. But
New York.
I think Jay, maybe it is a sentimental pick in part on my part. He's such a great guy, and he's so great for the sport.
Right.
For example, at my show this year, we have a Jay Cutler lookalike, this 11-year-old kid.
Yeah, he's great.
And I asked Jay if he would go along with this skit and do the skit, and he did it without reservation. A lot of people may say, I'm not going to do that. This looks stupid. And he went along with the whole thing. He followed the skit. The way he is with the fans, and I'm not saying these other guys aren't good with the fans either, but I just think Jay, there's another question. Does the Mr. Olympia represent just the physique on stage that night, or is it all encompassing and you take other areas in? I guess it should be the physique that night, and that's why Dexter Jackson deservingly beat him last year.
Let's talk about the 202 for a minute, Lonnie, real quickly, because I know you got to go. Give me a prediction of who's going to win that.
I'm going this order in the 202. This is a great battle, by the way. Yeah. This is a really interesting battle. The two, some really good people. I'm going David Henry to win it, edging Kevin English. That could go either way.
Right.
I'm going with, in third, a little. I've changed it around a little bit. I'm taking a guy I used to have in fifth, Mark Dugdale. I'm moving him up to third.
Wow.
Now, this isn't going to be an easy task because I had Correa in third, I had Flex Lewis in fourth, and I had Dugdale in fifth. I'm moving Dugdale to third, I'm moving Correa to fourth, I'm moving Flex Lewis to fifth, and I'm going with Tricky Jackson in sixth. I don't know if Daryl G is doing the show
or not.
He's doing it.
Well, then I'm putting Daryl G in sixth.
I saw pictures of Tricky Jackson from behind. He sent me yesterday because I'm helping him out a little bit. And this guy has got one of the best back double bicep shots in the sport. I mean, he's great.
Great. Tricky's been great for, you know, a long time. Like I said, I did have him sixth. I think Tricky Jackson could finish third or fourth, really. You know, this show is almost as hard to handicap as the main event.
Yeah, he's got those Jackson genetics.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's his cousin of Dexter Jackson, that's right.
That Jackson and Jackson muscle firm, man.
Could you imagine, how about this, Lonnie, for a historical moment? Dexter Jackson wins the Mr. Olympia, and his cousin Tricky Jackson wins the 202.
Andrew
Jackson MCs a show. This would be unbelievable, man.
You can get him to come back to life. You are
you know, but I don't know that 202. They got some. My man Stan McQuay. I really love Stan's physique, but I don't have him in the top six.
Jose Raymond.
Raymond looked terrific in Atlantic City. Man, this kid's good too. So it's good for the game. You know, it's going to be a great battle in that 202 as well. And I think it's a little more set. I think most people feel it's between Kevin and David.
I'd say so.
202. You know, we're, as you can see, we have three different picks in the main event.
Now, Lonnie, you know, years ago, back when Arnold and Franco were competing, they had, you know, they ran the short guys and the tall guys, you know, concomitantly. And then at the end of the day, they put the winner of each class against each other for the win. Do you ever see that, anything like that happening again? Could you imagine a matchup and for an overall between Mr. Olympia Open and Mr. Olympia 202?
You know, I'm not so sure. I wouldn't be against. I think I'm a little more for the height classes more than weight.
Yeah,
I'd kind of like to see a short class and a tall class.
Mm. But the weight class kind of is good because then everyone's balanced off. Everyone's, you know, it kind of is a short and a tall anyway because you...
In a sense, the problem the way it is now is like you had last year's win to open. So, I mean, it's, I think he took 14th open. So, I mean, it's almost like you have no chance at all. Whereas if you were 5'5 and under, but you could be 5'5 and be 221 pounds... you may have a chance to win the whole thing.
Sure, sure. I see what you're saying. I'd like to see the overall. I think it would just be good for that. You know, probably the Open, Mr. Olympia would win every time, but like they did in the past. But it would be fun, I think, just to see them up there against each other.
Well, I think it could be a good idea, and it would be fun. I think the problem is now, of course, we have so much expanded from the way the game used to be. We have fitness and figure and, you know, everything going on at the expo. And
next year you'll have bikini.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to have bikini at the Olympia.
I think they will.
Yeah, they will.
They will.
You think they will?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All they have to do is get rid of that ridiculous one-piece round from fitness and figure. And then you got room to do all kinds of things. I mean,
yeah,
what would you rather?
Now, at the expo, you got the Flex bikini model search.
Well, that's
and AMI puts on the show. Well, that may be a conflict of interest.
Nah, because they're just doing that until next year when they actually have the
oh,
Olympia.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Well, and if you add bikini too, then, you know, that's another division to have. So I think Dave's idea would be good. It would be fun. And the problem is, you know, we can't get there on Thursday and leave the following Wednesday either. You know, I mean, that's how long this is going to take. You know?
One last question. What do you think about the Ben White, Johnny Jackson World's Strongest Bodybuilder Challenge that's going
on? I think that guy that I met in April at the Orange County was with Wheeler. I think he's stronger than both of
them. Stan Efferding, you're talking about.
Yeah, Efferding. Yeah. I think I'm going with Efferding. I want to throw him in the mix.
Well, Ben White told us, so told me this past weekend when I went up Buffalo Ranching with him to the Buffalo Ranch, where he gets his food. He told me that when he beats Johnny Jackson, he said he will extend the challenge out to Stan Efferding if he wants to lift against him, as long as Stan brings some cash with him. So
Stan's the man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, just so you know, Lonnie, you know, Ben White is what, 290 pounds?
285.
285, and not very much of that is maybe 5 of it's fat. And he is cock diesel strong. So
what's Jackson, Wayne?
I don't know.
But neither one of them made the Olympia lineup, right? So they're putting everything into this. Right.
But Ben did beat Johnny head-to-head, I think, twice.
In the bodybuilding, yeah. Well, I don't know how much Johnny Jackson's weighing. Now, Ben's outweighs him by 30 pounds or so. Obviously, that's a tremendous advantage. But I'm going to go, you know, I haven't seen any of them either two lift, but I'm going with Johnny O.
Okay. All right. We'll log that into your predictions.
Just because he's not from New York. I know you guys are biased.
We got to stick with the New York as well.
He will not be the Big Apple in Las Vegas.
All right. We'll see. But anyway, Lonnie, I know you want to go lay in the sun and get some third-degree tan.
I
want
to go in so I can get bigger to be a justifiable guest.
Now, what are you doing at the Olympia? What's your official duties there?
I'm just reporting for Ironman. That's it. I guess, you know, you'll probably try to drag me over for an interview
probably.
The pre-judging.
Yeah. More than likely.
I was trying to get a Coke at 2 a.m. in the morning at the USA, and there's Ojumbo out there working hard, man.
Well, you got me into your interview, except it took 4 hours to set the camera up.
I apologize for that.
Ironman guys have such complicated cameras and so expensive that it takes forever to set them up.
Yeah, they look great, though, don't they? Try to turn it on. Well,
Lonnie, what day are you getting out there? Thursday?
This is going to be the first time I'll ever be there for that. I hate to use press conference because it's not a press conference.
Yeah, I know.
But I heard Dexter called me out last year. He wanted me to have a scale because I don't believe their weight. So I really like to get a scale and go up on stage and say, everybody stand on this.
Yeah, why don't you bring a little digital scale?
Well, I'm looking into that and see if I can buy one when I get into Vegas and then take 10 pounds off because they're going to have their suits on and all that stuff.
Rocks in their pocket, probably.
Yeah. Are they still dieting at that time, or are they carving back up?
They carving up, but you know, Craig Titus notoriously used to put like weights in his posing suit to help him make it appear as though he weighed more on stage when he
did. He really? Yeah, I never knew that. I weighed him in at the Ironman two or three times.
Yeah, and then he did that when he was an amateur too to make it look like he was heavier. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Look where that wound him up, though.
That's right. Yeah, he's.
We should all go visit Craig while we're in Vegas.
I don't even know where he is. What facility is he in?
We can get his predictions, maybe. He hates you, though, John.
He's not a fan of me. Craig and I had a love-hate relationship. I think John had a love-hate relationship with him, too. I mean, I think Craig basically had a love-hate relationship. You know,
with everyone.
He was a really personable, you know, this is that whole thing. I know this is another story and perhaps for another time, but regardless of what really happened that day, who knows what really happened that day, December 2005, but it's really a tragic situation, you know, and people that we knew that well that just that ended up like this. It's just, it's sad.
Sure. You got along with him, John. What happened was once Craig was arrested and John started writing about the heinous crime, I think that's when Craig built up animosity towards John.
Yeah.
Well, Craig didn't want anything. You know, he hated me from the USA in 1995 in Denver.
Oh.
Because, see, I was, the truth be told, this guy called me up. I didn't even want to be a part of it. He says, I want you to hear this. And he put me on the phone, a three-way with a DEA agent who said Titus was going to be arrested in Denver.
Wow.
For selling ecstasy. So I'm thinking, man, I don't want them to ruin the show.
Yeah.
You know, these people would just love the local newspaper to go in the middle of a contest and arrest somebody and destroy the contest and see all these jerks involved with bodybuilding. So I just alerted the promoters to say, you know, this is what I heard. Who knows if it's true or not? You may want to talk to Craig about it. Well, I guess they didn't talk to Craig about it, assuming that that would not happen, and it didn't happen. But the word got back to Craig that I had said this, and he held it against me. He thought that that caused him to lose the show.
No, he just wasn't in shape for that show.
Well, Phil Hernon, you know, it was a one-point decision. It could have gone either way, and Craig told me later that Phil deserved to win the show. I don't know if he really felt that way or not, but
he did. He did. I think Craig did look really good the following year. So,
you know. In 96, he looked great when he won it. He beat Tom Prince.
Yeah. Well, all right, Lonnie, I'll let you get back to lunch or whatever you're going to do, and we'll see you, I guess, on Wednesday.
We'll see you, two, 3 days down the road. We'll meet again.
Yes, we will.
Yes, we will.
All right. And I want you to remind your listeners who comes out on top in these picks.
Well, I got them written down, so if you are right, Lonnie, we will get you back on the show to brag. And if you're wrong, we'll still get you back to so that we could rub it in your face.
Right.
Yeah, I'll take the torture. I'll deserve it.
You'll both be saying, yeah, see, Romano was right. Dexter won.
Yeah. Ruth Silverman of Iron Man's picking Dexter Jackson. So
I got him second. We'll see.
I always thought Ruth was a really intelligent woman.
See that? She is intelligent.
And I just think that, you know, Kai Greene would have to, like, you know, really, you know, collapse or something like that not to win the show.
Which
he may,
because if they work these guys, like Lonnie said, they need to, and to get all those comparisons out there, if they're shuffling that row up and putting these guys through their compulsories, Kai Greene could expire right in front of us.
God, I hope he doesn't.
Oh, my. You know?
Nope, that's not a good prediction.
But it could. Come on, it could happen. Not expire. Not expire as in die.
Okay, but I got one final question. We all had to pick our pick to win the Olympia. Can you give us all a second pick?
Great, Jeff.
To win the Olympia, just as, you know, like a second chance pick.
No, you only get one pick. You don't get to hedge your bets.
I'm picking Kai Greene as my...
Look, he's going to hedge his bets here already. In case he's got to hire...
As my second pick. Right. You know, if we get two choices.
All right, well, you don't get two choices. So
okay, I just thought I'd throw it in.
We'll see you Wednesday, Lonnie. Thanks for calling.
Take care, guys. All right. See you soon.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by three decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of three creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29 gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught. Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. German American Technologies. Compete harder with GATT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet Fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuel. Jet Fuel, GATT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGAT.com. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is the Game, Triple H from the WWE. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenics. Visit ProgenicsSRG.com.
All right, John, our next guest, or I should say guests, are our good friend Arthur L. Ray of ALR Industries and the president of Lone Star Distribution, TJ Humphreys. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, what's up?
All right, the Texas contingent.
That's right.
Now, Arthur, you put this motley crew together.
You put this
motley crew together yourself. Give us the rationale behind getting us all together.
Oh, this is real simple. First of all, we have you, myself, TJ, and John. Every one of us is self-made. Okay, what we did is every one of us took the sport, took something that we totally love and something we have a passion for. Instead of making a hobby out of it where we spend all of our, every penny we have to do it while we work other jobs, we made it our job. And we've turned around a great, created very successful careers. TJ is the president of Lone Star Distribution, which is about to rival Europa these days in size.
Wow.
And me, well, I'm the head of LR Industries, as you know. And you've got Species, you've got RX Muscle. And then we got your sidekick there, who is like everywhere. And has taken everything he knows about the industry and is writing his talents and everything else, and he's trying to combine it all into one to support Species, support RX Muscle, support My Line, support. I mean, we've all done the same thing. We've taken our passion that we truly love, and we've turned it into a way to make a very good living.
Well, since you brought it up, why don't I hit you with the first question with regard to that. What do you think, at least speak from your own personal experience, what was it in your life that enabled you to take a sport that maybe you weren't genetically gifted enough to become Mr. Olympia, but still make money and enjoy, I guess, the luxuries of being able to be engrossed in the sport and make a great living from it?
That's simple. A passion for human performance excellence. Bottom line, it doesn't matter if we're talking the potential to think better, faster, stronger, perform at a higher rate, to be stronger, to be bigger, to have more symmetry. I don't care if it's skateboarding down the side of a sidewalk. Whatever it is, I'm fascinated by the ability to improve the overall performance.
Wow.
So that in itself, I mean, I wrapped myself around it to the point that I spent all my time doing it. And then pretty soon I was doing work for other companies, doing designs and so on and so forth, to create products for them that did it. And I always got the same thing as I've told you this before. Hey, can you take 3 cents out of the formula so we can make a little bit more money? And it's like, why don't you just leave it in?
Right.
So I created ALR Industries and said, I'm leaving the damn product in there. I'm making it as designed. I don't make kitchen sink formulas. We do not design anything that in and of itself is not designed for people, not just other athletes. I use it personally. If it doesn't work on me, it's not going to work on you.
Well, let me ask TJ the same question, because you're a sponsored athlete by ProLab. You're also the president of Lone Star Distributions. You're a competitive bodybuilder. How do you do all of it? How do you manage all of it?
Wow, that is a great question. I don't know how I manage it. You know, there's times where I'm kind of amazed at times. I think it takes, time management is obviously the key. When I started, I actually thought, funny enough, I thought I was going to be Mr. Olympia when I started bodybuilding.
We all did.
Until I lined up next to Phil Heath, and then reality set in, and I realized that wasn't going to be my path. But, I jumped into business with my business partner, John Hoffman, about 7 years ago. We had one warehouse in Dallas, Texas, and he called me up and he said, hey, you know, I'm looking to get some help. And I went down to his warehouse and I was like, it's like a 50,000 square foot GNC at the time. I mean, it was like, I was like a kid in a candy store. And I was always passionate about working out. That was my thing. You know, I loved the pump. I loved the energy. I loved the feel I got when I worked out. And then when I joined up with John at Lone Star, I realized that I could take that energy and take that passion that I've got in training and in supplementing and roll that into a lucrative career. So I think I kind of made the transition. Even competing as you know, Dave, and authors is a tough road to hoe. It's a huge commitment, and there's a lot of things to consider, you know, when you compete. But for me, I think I've realized that I've done what I could do on stage, and I think I've accomplished what I could possibly accomplish on stage. And so I'm focused on things that in the industry that I'm good at, which I like to believe is going out and meeting people and growing my business and sharing good stories and sharing a passion for the industry with retailers and consumers and fans and the whole nine. So it's been a nice 7 years for me, I can tell you.
Yeah, you definitely are living the dream, that's for sure. Now, John and I culled some questions. We started a thread on the RX Muscle Forums, and we wanted to know what our fans and what the RX Muscle members on the forum wanted to ask you two guys. And we got a bunch of questions that I kind of put together. So I'm going to start, and then John's going to go after me. Number one question, Arthur, seems to be, how should they go about getting tickets for the ALR after party at the Mr. Olympia contest?
Well, if they're female, they're going to have to convince John first.
Yeah, well, you know, the talk is not, well, there's a lot of talk about who's going to be Mr. Olympia, but second to that, the talk is the after party.
Nope. Well, in all honesty, we're going to be giving a lot of tickets out. People come by the booth and stuff, and once they're gone, they're gone.
Right.
But we have a lot of people that we do business with, such as TJ and the group from Lone Star, that have given us incredible support. We've worked as great partners with them, so of course we take care of that crew. Some of the guys I know from ProLab, some of the guys I know from Gaspari, as you two, of course, and any of the species crew, of course. And so what we're doing is it's all the people that have helped us put it together, and then all the people who have like bought our products, who've listened to our conversations, who've read our books. So as they come by and we get the chance to talk to them, we're going to be giving out tickets.
Well,
and we, of course, we got Jason Durr running around giving out tickets, and then we have the other side, which is the ticket sales.
But you got Kanye.
Which, no, I don't make a problem. All ticket sales go to donation.
Now, where is the party? I know it's at the Mandalay Bay. What's the name of the club?
What's the name of the club that we're in front of this? Hey, I got my marketing director sitting in front of me. I don't have to remember this stuff.
What are you saying?
Marketing director and sales director are both sitting here looking at me going, what's he doing? Let's eat.
We're having a party? What party? You didn't tell us about a party. What's the name of the club?
Here, it's called Mix. We've got a really good show going.
M-I-X.
Yes, and it's at the hotel, as you know, at the Mandalay Bay at the top. I believe it's on the 62nd floor.
Right.
We've actually set aside, we're going to be serving, of course, some hyper shot drinks and getting everybody plowed and wired all at the same time. Naturally, we're going to be giving out porn star samples because, well, it makes parties a little bit more interesting.
Especially in Vegas.
Yeah.
hey, what happens in Vegas, we broadcast in RX Muscle, right?
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
Something like that. Don't worry about it, because there's really nothing to worry about. Just because I have four people that are going to be running around with video cameras the entire time, there's nothing to be concerned with.
Now, you know, there's also a meeting. I don't know if, if you're aware. Sally Ann and I think your lovely wife arranged an RX Muscle meet. I think it's on Friday around 2 or 3 o'clock. There's going to be the entire RX Muscle Forum is going to be basically at your booth. Did you know that, Arthur?
Yikes.
You're gonna have all of us there.
You know what?
Great.
You know what that sounds like to me is like the best damn party ever planned.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it will be.
All right.
Oh damn! Let's see. I get to hang out with all my favorite people.
it's gonna suck.
I know.
All right. Now here's another question from our loyal minions. They want to know, Arthur, why haven't you created a protein powder or carb replacement?
Okay, carb replacement, I've actually been working on it for a while, and we're getting pretty close to what I really want to do. We've had several things that are like related to Waxy Maize, to Botargo, and so on and so forth, and I just don't believe they do the job as fully as they could. There's a certain series of chains that are in Waxy Maize that once extracted that do the job. The extraction process is what I'm working on right this time. As far as a protein powder, I personally don't believe that for the most part, the most protein powders are worth a damn. Whey protein I used to love whey protein, but as I did more and more research, the fact that it's so loaded with alpha-lactobolamine, so many people are allergic to it. How many people do you know cannot use whey protein pre-contest because of the bloating?
Well, just most of the times they can't use anything but whey isolate because usually the lactose here bothers them too.
It's not just the lactose, it's the alpha-lactobolamine. We can't fully digest it or utilize it. Humans use the alpha-lactobolamine, not beta-lactobolamine. Mm. And the problem is we cannot fully utilize this, and what it does, it triggers a series of autoimmune responses that cause gastronomical bloating, gastronomical blockage, and then we start screwing with our ability to absorb the amino acid structures.
All right, so forget pre-contest for a minute, because there's a ton of people out there that are using protein supplements and carb replacements. Not excluding pre-contest, are there any brands out there that you would recommend? They want to know.
Well, to be honest with you, there are. There's several. I mean, you've got a very good protein powder. Optimum's got an awesome concentrate that's always very clean. ProLab makes three or four different good products that are excellent. I mean, if I was going to use a whey, those would be the brands I would use. I would pick those top three.
Oh. All right. Well, now this question's for TJ. A couple of the members were asking, you know, they like the whole idea of the fitness modeling. They're not huge bodybuilders, and they feel that that's more their cup of tea. Their question was, since you've done this successfully, how does one get into a field like this, get their name out there? You know, how do you get people to take pictures of you and put you in a magazine?
Man, that's a good question. I would never have thought that I would get shot for a magazine, but it was at the USA's about 4 years ago. I think I would recommend if you're a guy or a girl, I think a lot of the magazines scout out these bodybuilding shows, and they're looking for a particular look, both, you know, men's and women's looks, you know, and sometimes that look goes, is conversely proportionate to, you know, what wins on stage, unfortunately, and that's really where kind of I figured my place would fit. And I didn't realize it until after I got, you know, beat and on the bodybuilding stage that would be an area that I'd actually excel in. And I think that's the best place to start a lot of times, is just to get in real great shape and compete and, you know, do the shows. There's a lot of great photographers out there that show up at these shows, and they're looking for a look. And all it takes is a lucky break. It takes, you know, you coming in shape and having a specific look. And that's really the best. You know, obviously there's 300 competitors at these shows, so your odds still, I mean, it takes a little bit of luck as well as, you know, having a look as well. But I think getting into it, once you're into it, I was fortunate. Once I got into it, I've stayed in shape my entire life, but I've, you know, staying in shape, you know, year round has kept me busy in the magazines. You know, Muscle and Fitness, Status Fitness, you know, they kept me real busy.
Yeah, I saw that.
Thankful for that.
I saw that cover shot you did with Muscle and Fitness. It looked great, man. You must have been pretty proud walking past the newsstand and seeing your face on there. Huh?
Oh, you know, not as proud as my daughter. Five. My daughter's flipped out, but it was a killer experience, and it's one of those trophies that, you know, nobody can take away from me. So I was thankful I got the opportunity to do that.
Hey, DJ.
Yeah.
Did you do like five different covers now?
I've actually been on 3 muscle and fitness covers and then 1 status fitness.
Oh, that's pretty impressive.
That's good.
Thanks.
That is impressive.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. Every time one of those came up, you know, what they do, obviously, they do cover tries. So you show up at these things, and just to get a cover try is a gift, but there's no guarantee, even when you go in and shoot for a cover try, that they're going to use that cover, as you guys know. And like I said, I was fortunate enough to keep my condition throughout the shoot and keep my look, and that was a look that I think the general public, you know, kind of, you know, a lot of times Muscle and Fitness would throw it out there and they'd ask for votes and whatnot, and I guess they like my look, so they kept using me, so I was thankful for that.
Well, I'll tell you this much, PJ. You have 3 more Muscle and Fitness covers than all 3 of us combined.
That's true, Dave. Well, he's a little prettier than the rest of us. I mean, we always joke around about the fact that, hey, come on, TJ, you are one pretty guy.
I don't know about that.
Be careful, TJ.
If I was into men, I would definitely ask you out, okay?
Oh, dude, this is, okay, now I know it's after hours.
Arthur's getting a little gay on this, I mean.
TJ, has he kissed you yet?
Not. You know what? He has. I turned my head real quick, or else he would have landed one right on the lips.
Oh, I was
lucky enough to get it on the lips.
He got me, man, too.
You must have been slow. Slow reaction times, Dave. You got to work on that.
That's right.
Hey, bottom line, when you're not homophobic and you know everybody else is, it's so much more fun.
I just wish you would have shaved.
Oh, sorry about that. If it ever happens again, I promise, just for you, I will.
Gee, thanks. All right. The next question is for the king. And this is a really good one. I was really happy that someone asked this one. Is it true that you were the guy called Dr. X in the 90s magazine Muscle Media 2000?
For a period of time, I was. There's actually was several Dr. X, just so you know.
But you were one of them.
I was one of them.
Well, how did that whole idea come about, and how did you get picked to do it?
I'd written some articles before for other magazines, and yeah, I'd just gotten picked up. And make a long story short, kind of like a TJ, I guess they liked what I had to say.
All right.
Yeah, you were very controversial back then, that's why.
Probably not as bad as I am now.
Oh, he's
yeah.
Worse now.
Well, as TJ says, I really love this. When TJ introduces me to people and they haven't met me before, I love the way he does this. He always starts off with giving them a warning. And then, of course, I totally behave.
You do, actually. You always disappoint me, Arthur. After I, like, introduce you and I'm warning people, you come out looking like a saint. I'm like, wait a sec, I swear that's not the same guy.
Well, see, you got to realize that that's what makes it so much fun to go out with you, TJ. I mean, you are a very well-presented lad. I mean, you're always a gentleman. You're always well-spoken. You always dress with quality. I've never seen you unshaved. I've never seen you not taking care of yourself. So I love being in the position where you introduce me and people are waiting for this very raw thing, and I behave.
Well, you know, we were just talking about before you got on the phone earlier that how we're so busy nowadays that it's so hard to shave your body anymore, right, TJ?
Oh, absolutely.
There's no time anymore to do it. Whereas in the past, you're like every other day you're probably shaving just to keep all the hair off.
All right, TJ, you probably do the same thing I do. Where you do the upper body one day, and then 2 days later you finally go, oh yeah, legs are looking pretty bad. Let me get those.
Well, the legs grow slower than the rest
Arthur,
of the
you
body.
Probably hire someone to do it. You probably have some chick shaving your body, I bet you, right?
Yeah. No, I think Austin knows to shave his legs when his pantyhose gets stuck on his shins when he pulls them up.
I just got to ask how you would know that pantyhose get stuck on your shins pulling them up.
No comment.
Wow.
I mean, this is a problem for you. I mean, brother, I know I have several girls on staff that are very good at shaving, and I will send them over personally to shave your legs for you.
I bet you would.
Send a couple to my room at the Olympia. I need my leg shaved. They're really bad. Break up.
Yeah, but see, you won't get in trouble. I know TJ's wife, and I know she will beat him to a pulp.
I know. She's the Brazilian bombshell, definitely.
No, yeah. Wouldn't even get through the front door.
Well, wait a minute, because she knows where I live. Hey, TJ, scratch that idea. I really don't want Nikki looking for me.
Okay,
got you.
All right. Here's my next question for you.
Sure.
All right, this question is to TJ, and one of the forum members wants to know, will TJ be at the ProLab booth at the Olympia first?
You know what? It's a disappointing no.
Wow.
And this is why. ProLab actually is going through a lot of changes right now. They're actually rebranding the brand. They're coming out with some different products. I think, you know, that brand is, and Dave and Arthur, you guys know this, that brand was, you know, one of the top brands back in the, I'll say the 80s or 90s maybe.
Sure.
both
fell
actually
out of favor. Just I think because it, you know, fell out of innovation and fell off the marketing bus, and I think they're kind of going back to the drawing board and revisiting, you know, the brand and revisiting the product SKUs and the science behind what they're coming out, what they think they need to come out with to make the Pro Lab successful again. They're actually not even going to have a booth this year at the Olympia.
Really?
No kidding.
So I'll be walking the show, which will be fun. It's the first year in about 4 years I've actually been able to walk the show. So I'm actually, you know, for the first time in 4 years, I'm totally fired up to, you know, get out and, you know, shake hands with all the people I do business with and a lot of the fans that'll be out there. I'm totally jazzed.
So you're actually going to get to go to the Olympia, not be at
that?
The Olympia.
No, exactly. I'm like fired up.
That's
it's
awesome.
It's going
to
be fun. Yeah.
Right, hey, DJ, don't forget we get to interview you on the stage.
Oh, I'm ready.
Now, one more. The part two of the question I asked you was, people want to know, will Lone Star distribution be expanding to the West Coast?
Ooh. Boy, that is a good question. You know, the answer is yes at some point in time. Okay. No telling when. Obviously, you know, growing our business, like growing any business, it takes a lot of due diligence on the area, the geography. There's a lot in going into what areas we go, decide to grow our business. The West Coast is an incredible market for sports nutrition, and there's no question that the way we've been growing the success that we've had in the areas that we've been growing, there's no doubt at some point in time we'll be on the West Coast, but it's not going to be tomorrow by any means.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me get this one for a quick second, TJ, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
West Coast, phenomenal. We do very well on both coasts, and Lone Star has done a phenomenal job for us in building us up and being great partners. Hopefully, when he did the Macon TJ into moving to getting a facility set up on the West Coast, because I have every intention of getting him to partner up so we can do a very large facility and cover the entire area. And
that's right. We have talked about that. That is for sure.
Yes, we have.
Wow.
And when the time's right, we'll do it, brother.
Yep.
Wow. That's a big move.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we can do it.
Arthur's a big guy, though, and he's got big plans just like me, so it makes sense.
I'll give Arthur one thing. He's got the balls as big as I've ever seen, because nothing phases you, Arthur. You'll take any chance. If you believe in it, you go for it. I have to really take my hat off you for that.
As it should be.
Absolutely.
That's the reason I teamed up with Lone Star. TJ's the same way.
Cool.
Yeah, it's funny. We kind of make decisions, and then we look behind us, and if there's too much carnage, we say, okay, maybe that maybe we went a little quick there.
No, TJ, what you said last time was, oops, that one's your fault, and I'm looking at you.
Yeah, I'm pointing the finger, that's right.
I'm going, wait, do we know them?
All right, King, the next one is for you. I've gotten this question a bunch of times. This was a very popular question. Is Restore as good as other aromatase inhibitors on the market, such as Gasparri's Novadex, and can it be used for PCT?
Yes, it can be used for PCT. Is it as good as? Well, I have a great deal of respect for Rich and for the products that he works with and so on and so forth, so I really never feel right about comparing my products to another product, period. Unless, of course, we redesigned the wheel totally, which we didn't. In the case of Restore, I think it's a phenomenal product because it is the only one that truly addresses all the issues of HPTA regeneration. It addresses cortisol, prolactin, and estrogen all simultaneously. There is no other product that does that.
Wow. So you're saying it is a powerful enough anti-estrogen? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, it is definitely a powerful enough anti-estrogen. Okay. I have not been able to find anybody yet, even if they're up in the, say, the 60s, the 80s, or even the 100 picoliter levels on estrogen, that we can't get them down between the 20 and 30 range with it.
All right.
I actually took Restore after Nationals, and I recovered really, really quick. It was probably, for me, it was the best post-cycle product that I've taken.
Now, is that dose of 3 pills a day that's recommended on the label the actual real dose you should take?
No, ask TJ what he used.
That's, you know what, I think you could take, I mean, I remember I asked Arthur before I took it, and he recommended that that's all I needed to take, and that's what I took, and it worked.
Wow. All right.
As a rule, that's true for most people. If somebody's been on, let's say somebody's been using something that is suppressive for 6 months, then I'll suggest initially for the first week that they'll jump on two caps 2 times a day and then back off after the first week. The only reason being is we want to get that cortisol under control immediately.
Mm. Makes sense.
One of the problems, people don't understand the reason, for the most part, the reason that chemistry, like with such as steroids or any other type of other anabolic, stops working isn't just the accumulation of the fact that your body's adapted to it or a growth rate. It's not the, it's also you have all these other things that are happening. Your body starts producing more myostatin, so therefore it inhibits your growth. Your estrogen levels accelerate dramatically, so now you're fighting fat versus muscle. You have prolactin, so now we've got fight versus muscle again, and your gut, you have proteins being sidetracked to their areas where they don't belong. Then we, on top of this, we have all the downregulation. When you've been using it, say, let's just give an example. Somebody was using testosterone itself. That means that their body no longer is taking DHEA and converting it to all the other analogs that go up to it. So you're getting up three-quarters of your actual androgen counts. So therefore, you stop growing because your actual total androgens are far less while you're on the testosterone than they were before you started.
Interesting. Very interesting. Makes sense.
But this and builds all of it.
Mm.
So, I mean, for instance, if you use Restore, within the first 2 weeks, we have been able to show within the first 2 weeks, most people's DHEA, androstenedione, 4-androstenediol, excuse me, all the 3-4 analogs and all the 4, and all the 4-OH analogs in and of themselves are back to normal.
That's impressive.
Pretty proud of it. From there on, it's going to take a period of time, naturally, before all free testosterone has reestablished itself properly and where the receptors have downregulated, have become sensitized again.
Okay. That was a very good answer to a very good question. Now, I have one more question for you guys because it's getting late, and once again, John has to put Max to bed. But this is probably the best question, I think. This is my question. It's the question that no one's asked. It's pretty much the obvious question. What the heck does TJ Humphries and Arthur L. Ray have in common that they have that I have them on the show tonight?
Oh, man. Arthur, you want to lead with this one?
I'll go with it. We share the same passion. We both love performance enhancement from the very beginning. We love seeing what we do affect other people in a positive way, the same way it's affected us in a positive way. I don't sell a product that I don't make a product and sell a product that I don't truly use myself. TJ will not carry a product that he has not tested himself, used, and can honestly recommend. When my line was first presented to TJ, he took the time to try every single product. And then ask me questions about why is this happening? Why is that happening? What's this result? I mean, he truly loves what he does.
Just to add to that, I get, you know, I carry a variety of different lines. But I remember before I met Arthur, I tried his products first. I actually had a friend of mine bring his line to me. And he said, man, this these products work extremely well. And I get, Dave, you probably know, I get probably 40 or 45 inquiries a week from different companies that, you know, from different supplement companies that say that they're the hottest thing out and right. This and that. And right. I make sure that, A, I try the products first. I have a great resource and some fantastic salespeople that also love to try products. I tried Arthur's line. I said, man, this stuff is phenomenal. All my reps love the results they were getting on the products. Then I met Arthur, and I was blown away. I mean, I deal with 95 different companies, and I don't think I can think of one manufacturer that looks like that guy does. And hats off to him, because he's as busy as you are, as I am, and for him to stay in the kind of shape that he does year-round is, you know, my hat is off to anybody that can give it all like he does to the industry, to his company. And I think, you know, what does TJ and Arthur have in common? I think it's just that. I think, you know, we clearly live it, we breathe it, we sleep it, we do everything, and it's because we love it. And it's one of those things that, you know, since we can't get on stage anymore, and Arthur, I'm speaking for you here on this, I know I can't, I'm assuming you can't either. No. Our stage is now the supplement world. That's our stage. That's how we compete, and it's exciting, and it's our challenge now. And I think that's, you know, Arthur and I both share that challenge now professionally. So it's kind of fun.
Then we both stay in shape. We both refuse to give up what we have. I mean, how many? How many supplement company owners do you know that have 20-inch arms?
I only know one other guy.
Okay, well, how many,
Dave Palumbo.
Other than Dave Palumbo,
okay.
And how many guys do you know that are the head, the top dog in a distributorship that handles thousands and thousands of accounts has 20-inch arms?
No, yeah, probably no one.
You know, fortunately, I think TJ. That's just me, Dave.
Yeah, I think it's just you.
Yeah. Okay, and he's pretty.
You mentioned that too many times, Arthur.
You guys are too nice, man.
I'm wondering.
Hey, can I take a shot at plugging something I'm working on right now?
Go ahead, please. Let's hear. Absolutely.
Actually, TJ and I have been discussing this a great deal, and he's given me a lot of good input on some approaches and some ideas and so on and so forth in regard to what the market is missing. So my goal right now is we want to start a brand new category, one that nobody's ever done. You have about Absolute Performance Enhancement. We have a product that is coming out that very soon, and it's called Be Focused. The intent of the product is to create not just extreme focus. I mean, when you take it, I mean, I got my sales and marketing director sitting in here both, and I bought them both some tablets, and both look at me like I gave them Christmas presents. And you stay so focused, it is ridiculous. But here's the important thing. It's an excellent stimulant. It burns fat. It is extremely appetite suppressive, but it does not affect heart rate at all. No blood pressure increase. And it helps regenerate ATP in the brain and throughout the body simultaneously. Does not affect the adrenals.
Wow. What's it called?
Be focused.
No, I mean, what's the active ingredient? What's the chemical you're talking about?
You're going to have to wait till we release it, Doug.
I'm just trying for the... I'm representing the fans out there and the forum members. They're going to ask me.
They're going to want to know. They're going to have to wait like always, unfortunately.
Now they're going to be torturing you at the Arnold Expo, at the Olympia Expo there, when you are sitting at your booth.
Begging for samples.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, just for the record, I'm bringing samples for you guys because I want you very focused, and I really want to enjoy watching you guys watch the women while you're on it.
Well, Sean Andros is going to love those things. He's a junkie with those stimulant products.
Well, I saw him on Poison, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, he was a little looped out of his mind on this stuff.
I saw him one day with no stimulants, if you want hilarity. That was, oh my God. Kickstart him. we went to the lumber yard and with no stimulants.
Oh, boy.
That was fun.
Anyway, so like I said, it's a whole new category, and TJ and I have been talking extensively about some marketing ideas and so on and so forth and other products that we're going to be adding in, and I'm really looking forward to the release of it. I mean, we've got Poison. We're going to be debuting it at the Olympia, as you know. Mm-hmm. We have the Poison drink coming out, which is scary. I'm going to throw down the gauntlet right now. Jack, beware. I'm coming.
Oh boy.
Oh, man.
Arthur always has to be controversial before the end of the show. All right, look. Hey, Arthur,
I have a great deal of respect for Jack O'Lock. He has done a phenomenal job. He's a good marketer. He's a very intelligent man. He's made great products. He has done leaps and bounds in this industry. I'm throwing it down. We're coming.
All right. You heard it from Arthur already there.
He's worth the challenge. He's that good.
All right. Good. All right. That's a compliment to him. Now, Arthur, you're in New York, so we're going to see you tomorrow morning, probably when we get in.
Absolutely.
TJ, we'll see you at the Olympia next Thursday, I assume, correct?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to seeing you all out there, and I'll be walking the show and
all right.
having a good time, man. Thanks for having me
on. Thanks for calling in, man.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see
you
all.
Arthur, all right. I'll see you tomorrow afternoon, and thanks for calling in.
Good night to you. Thank you.
All right, John. It was a great show. I really enjoyed it. Lonnie Tepper is just a real character of the sport. You know, I wish we could do more with him because he's just got an unusual. He's kind of like us in a way. We'll probably be like him 10 years from now. But he's got such good insight into the sport, and he's got such a good sense of humor about it.
And you know, and a virtual walking encyclopedia of names and dates and who was in what show when and who finished where and who they beat and when and how and you know. Yeah, I love listening to him talk. And to have him on the same show as Arthur El Rey was just, I mean, that was character central tonight.
Yeah. Well, you know what the funny thing is about Lonnie? I'm starting to understand how he has all these facts at his fingertips because back in the day, he used to go to every show.
Right.
Now we go to every show. And I know more facts than he does. We've seen Gustavo in Atlantic City. Right. We saw Wendell Floyd in the Team Universe. He hasn't even seen these people. So I feel like we're becoming the new Lonnie Tepers. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but it definitely is exposing us and immersing us in this industry that we have. Well, we got the Olympia coming up in a couple days. I'll be leaving Wednesday. You're going to be catching up with me on Thursday.
Yep.
It's going to be a great weekend. I think we got such great content planned for the entire RxMuscle.com website that these guys are going to lose their mind with the daily, hourly even updates that we're going to be putting up. We got some very unconventional coverage that I think a lot of people are going to enjoy, specifically Jimmy the Bull. Jeff the producer is going to be there doing all his characters. And, you know, Nick the Stick will be there with us, me, yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Who else we got there? We got Dan Ray. Chris Zimmerman's making a special appearance. So we got the entire whack pack there. And I think that Vegas is going to never be the same after we get out of there.
I think I heard Bobby Smalls say to Mr. G that he was going to pay their way to go out there.
Dave, I'm telling you, we got to find the way to get there, Dave. Put your name on the side of the plane. We'll get there for free, Dave.
You know what scares me? If those two come out, they're somehow going to wind up getting into the Olympia. They're going to bamboozle Robin Chang into giving them a press pass somehow.
Somehow.
And they'll be probably in sitting in better seats than we have.
Now, Dave, I helped you build RX Muscle, Dave.
Wear the t-shirts.
He did come through with the Powered by Ketone shirts.
Yeah, he did.
I got to put him up on the site, but yeah, he definitely did.
Now, where are we staying? What is the host hotel for the Whack Pack?
I know that you don't like this hotel, but we're going to be at the Orleans because we got to be where the action is.
All right. I'll take one for the team this year, but that's not going to happen
anymore.
Although
we're going to be visiting Tony Freeman, and he's staying in a penthouse with a gym. And
oh, again?
Yeah, well, he's in a better place than he was last time. This one costs like $20,000 for the week or something like that.
I'm going to call Jay Hammett and say, listen, man, we got to stay with you.
They probably have rooms knowing those guys. They're living in style when they go there, that's for sure. They're not sweating at the Orleans. Last year, Tony had four rooms. He had like the place he rented. He had the Orleans. He had another place. I don't know what the purpose of all these places were, but he was all over the place last year.
The thing about the Orleans, if there was just a way to go from the street to the elevator in your room without going through that depressing casino.
With the women with the smoking cigarettes and the oxygen
tank. Smoking cigarettes with the oxygen tank. I saw a woman there once smoking through a tracheostomy. She was smoking a cigarette. She had a cigarette in the tracheostomy hole.
You know what, though? I got to hand it. You know, Robin Chang really did his research. Believe me, I'm sure he doesn't like the hotel either.
I know,
but
he doesn't.
That arena is freaking huge.
Yeah, no, it's the arena is great. He sold
the thing out, I heard.
Yeah, he sold it out. Look, Robin Chang is doing... I can't imagine a guy in charge of a beast the size of the Olympia doing a better job than Robin Chang. And, you know, if we have to pay for that by staying in less than desirable surroundings...
I mean, you don't have to stay there. You can stay wherever you want in Vegas, but I want to be close to where we're doing our coverage because we got to go back and edit video.
Yeah, well, it's a logistical nightmare because of the fact that the convention center is diagonally all the way across town. So if we have to bide our time traveling back and forth, it's going to pay dividends to us in terms of, you know, logistics to be at one place or the other.
Well, you know what? The funny thing is with the economy the way it is, Vegas hurting as much as it is, it's not going to really matter. I don't think there's going to be as much traffic as there usually is, so we'll probably be all right.
I don't know, man. I don't see the economy hurting anywhere. There's more as many people in Vegas as there ever was.
But did you see this? The flights are really expensive for some reason.
Yeah, flights are expensive, and the hotels, they're going to give us breaks in hotels either.
You know what? The Orleans, in defense of the Orleans, as much as I don't like it, the Orleans is really reasonably priced, and you know what? For a lot of people who don't have money, specifically us, we fit into that category now. Well,
when you furnish the rooms with the Salvation Army, you can get away with, you know,
they got room service. That's all I care about. We got a McDonald's close by.
Right.
We can always send Jeff, the producer, to go get food. Is Diego coming, Jeff?
Diego will be going only if Mr. Gudeme sends a sponsorship ticket.
That's right. Gudeme is going to be there too.
Yeah.
He's making a special appearance. Actually, I think he's coming in on Tuesday. He's probably going to be staying here on Tuesday night.
And let's not forget, there's a strip club right across the street.
And don't forget Derek fucking Anthony. He's going to fucking be there.
That's true. We can't forget Derek.
That's why we're staying there, because the strip club is across the street for Derek.
Oh, that's right. What is that place called?
It's called fucking El fucking Derico. That's what it's called. Don't worry about it. I'll fucking be there.
We got to go to the Crazy Horse with these guys, though.
Yeah. Or Opium Garden.
Yeah. I don't know what the newest one is. When I used to go there all the time, there was the Crazy Horse, too. But
yeah.
All right, guys, I think it's that time again. I'd like to thank our guests, Arthur L. Ray, TJ Humphreys, and, of course, the Swami himself, Lonnie Teeper, for stopping by. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RXMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.